Raga, how the traditions go back 500 years and more. The lost recordings from Bali that were never heard by the people they were recorded for. The mystery of the blues, uncovering its messages of revolt that were hidden inside metaphor. I'm your host, Alan Evans, and I'd like to invite you to tune in for a new pair of ears starting on Wednesday, January 7th from 2 to 3 p.m. on WBAI 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You're listening to WBAI 99.5 FM Pacifica Radio. Online at WBAI.org.
The role of media in a democratic society should be to empower people to make decisions.
WBAI, speaking truth to power for over 50 years.
You have very few powerful media outlets that are actually doing the two things that I think are the most central aims of good journalism, which is to give voice to the voiceless and hold those in power accountable.
WBAI, your community alternative.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
Let me say thank you to all you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
You can live a healthy life and raise a healthy family in a toxic world if you know how. Hi, I'm Doug Wood, co-host of Green Street, the environmental health show here on WBAI. Every other Tuesday evening, Patty and I talk to some of the world's leading experts who provide in-depth information and practical solutions you can use to keep yourself and your family healthy and safe. So keep your radio set right here to 99.5 FM WBAI and join us every other Tuesday evening at 8 right here on Green Street.
The WBAI Local Station Board will be meeting on Wednesday, January 14th, 2015, at the ARC Central Harlem Senior Center, 120 West 140th Street, in the Village of Harlem, in the borough of Manhattan, between Malcolm X Boulevard and Adam Clayton Powell Boulevard. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. All are welcome.
Meeting is adjourned. Oh, I am sorry, sir. I didn't mean to overstep my bounds.
He has some uppers and some downers and marijuana and all kinds of good things that will one day have you in pain and agony. But you can look at him right in the face and you can sing this song to him. I don't need no bad drugs. I don't need no bad drugs. I don't need no bad drugs. Sing along with me. I don't need no bad drugs. I don't need no bad drugs. Now watch him walk away, because he can't sell you his bag of agony and pain. Goodbye, dope pusher. Goodbye with your bag of death and agony and pain. You'll have to find somebody not as smart.
Dissemination of the...
Again. night shift.
And the dream of the planet. What you are seeing and hearing right now is nothing but a dream. You're dreaming right now in this moment. You're dreaming with the brain awake. Dreaming is the main function of the mind, and the mind dreams 24 hours a day. It dreams when the brain is awake, and it also dreams when the brain is asleep. The difference is that when the brain is awake, there is a material frame that makes us perceive things in a linear way. When we go to sleep, we do not have the frame, and the dream has the tendency to change constantly. Humans are dreaming all the time. Before we were born, the humans before us created a big outside dream that we will call society's dream, or the dream of the planet. The dream of the planet is the collective dream of billions of smaller personal dreams, which together create a dream of a family, a dream of a community, a dream of a city, a dream of a country, and finally, a dream of the whole humanity. The dream of the planet includes all of society's rules, its beliefs, its laws, its religions, its different cultures and ways to be, its governments, schools, social events, and holidays. We are born with the capacity to learn how to dream, and the humans who live before us teach us how to dream the way society dreams. The outside dream has so many rules that when a new human is born, we hook the child's attention and introduce these rules into his or her mind. The outside dream uses mom and dad, the schools and religion to teach us how to dream. Attention is the ability we have to discriminate and to focus only on that which we want to perceive. We can perceive millions of things simultaneously, but using our attention, we can hold whatever we want to perceive in the foreground of our mind. The adults around us hooked our attention and put information into our minds through repetition. That is the way we learned everything we know. By using our attention, we learned a whole reality. A whole dream. We learned how to behave in society, what to believe and what not to believe, what is acceptable and what is not acceptable, what is good and what is bad, what is beautiful and what is ugly, what is right and what is wrong. It was all there already. All that knowledge, all those rules and concepts about how to behave in the world. When you were in school, you sat in a little chair and put your attention on what the teacher was teaching you. When you went to church, you put your attention on what the priest or minister was telling you. It is the same dynamic with mom and dad, brothers and sisters. They were all trying to hook your attention. We also learn to hook the attention of other humans, and we develop a need for attention which can become very competitive. Children compete for the attention of their parents, their teachers, their friends. Look at me, look what I'm doing. Hey, I'm here. The need for attention becomes very strong and continues into adulthood. The outside dream hooks our attention and teaches us what to believe, beginning with the language that we speak. Language is the code for understanding and communication between humans. Every letter, every word in each language is an agreement. Once we understand the code, our attention is hooked, and the energy is transferred from one person to another. It was not your choice to speak English. You didn't choose your religion or your moral values. They were already there before you were born. We never had the opportunity to choose what to believe or what not to believe. We never chose even the smallest of these agreements. We didn't even choose our own name. As children, we didn't have the opportunity to choose our beliefs, but we agreed with the information that was passed to us from the dream of the planet via other humans. The only way to store information is by agreement. The outside dream may hook our attention, but if we don't agree, we don't store that information. As soon as we agree, we believe it, and this is called faith. To have faith is to believe unconditionally. That's how we learn as children. Children believe everything adults say. We agree with them, and our faith is so strong that the belief system controls our whole dream of life.
That was the kind of world we'd made.
Night shift.
You are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM, and this is Night Shift. It's 2015. We're living in the future. The name of the show. Feeling you're going to have.
Night shift.
Mondays, midnight. Till 3 a.m.
Night shift. Night shift.
That was the kind of world we made. World we made.
All right, so it's been a long time since you've been on the show, hasn't it?
It's been a while.
You have to move in closer and or pull the mic towards you.
Okay.
Pull the mic towards you, yes.
It should be.
Yes, about 6 inches is a good distance. All right, so you're tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI. I have two special guests in the studio, interesting lineup, and I think Chris might even be on the phone. Chris, is that
you? I'm right here. How are you?
He sounds very happy. And Jennifer, welcome back to Night Shift. And what do we call you? You've had a different name every time you're here. So what do we call you? And move the mic towards you, please.
Surprise me. Come up with a name.
come up with. Well, I'll let Jennifer create it for you.
Well, there
you
it
need
is.
To think about it.
You have to think about it. All right, Lance, you have any ideas for a name for her? He is a wow. All right. So she who will be unnamed. First of all, I have to say, we part of the theme of this show is that life is like science fiction, and there are many aspects. And it's the beginning of the year, and I think this is a time, you know, of course, for a Night Shift theme to be a classic Night Shift theme, and that is, what are you certain you're going to make happen this year, you know? And as a bonus, what did you learn last year that you're going to apply this year? You understand? Chris, you're with this, I'm certain.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking, you know, thank God for Gold Bond.
What does that mean? You know, for what? For your feet?
Gold Bond? You ever used Gold Bond?
I have, but it didn't come to mind.
You can use it for anything now. You can just use it for just anything you need,
Is that what you learned in 2014?
Is this stealth advertising?
I think it is. I think it's stealth advertising. Chris, have you been hearing, Jennifer actually brought this to my attention. Did you hear about the fecal transplants? Did you hear about this?
The witch kind of transplant?
No
exactly.
Joke.
Exactly. You're thinking that you heard me wrong. You're thinking, what is he talking about? We're going to talk about it. And it just got approved. We're going to talk a little bit about the history of it, but fecal implants, correct.
It's all the rage.
This is the kind of world we've made, Chris. Trust me on this. Yes.
Hey, you're lucky it's in a pill now.
Frozen. What did you call them miss?
It said frozen. That's what the article's about, frozen poop pills.
There it is, frozen
poop pills.
See, that
goes right along with the Gold Bond. You see, because if you don't use Gold Bond, then if you get a baby rash, you know what happens after that.
Well, if you're not a baby and you get a rash, that's not a baby rash. You know what I'm saying? That's just a rash.
So he's disturbing.
Want to bring that in just in case you had some difficulty understanding. Oh, you know, I brought something special to play to you, Chris.
I'm so excited.
It's still a work in progress, but I think you'll appreciate it. But I'll play it later here in the show. But I do want to say that you are tuned to Listen Sponsored Radio. This is Night Shift. We're on Mondays from midnight to 3 a.m. Hopefully, you'll enjoy what we've got going here, and we're going to talk about a number of subjects. The phone number here is, and miss,
yes,
you should pay attention to this number because there'll be a test later.
Yeah, okay. Don't pay
212-209-2900. That's the number that people call in.
I'm never going to remember.
You got to get a name for our extra mystery.
Well, guest. I should let you name the mystery guest. I mean, she could just be the mystery
it'd
guest.
Oh, be like, well, something, you know, something cool. Like, what could we, you know, we've got to come up with something. Everybody's got to.
Irandaira is really pretty, but it's a prostitute's name.
Well, anything can be a prostitute name, I hate to tell you. I mean, you know, in any language. But
What's the name?
From a Gabriel Garcia Marquez story, Innocent Irandaira.
Irandaira?
Irandaira.
I think Mystery
so
Guest
much
is
of a
better.
Mouthful.
I like Mystery Guest better. Mystery Guest, do we have your attention?
Yes.
Truly have your attention.
209-2900.
Okay, look at that. Look at that.
There it is.
All right, so I have a few stories, and I'm going to let you open with a story.
That one I couldn't.
But I do want to ask you the theme, Mr. Guest.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn in 2014 that you definitely will take with you into the rest of your life?
That school sucks.
No.
I mean, the classes are interesting.
Okay. That's not really like a lesson. That's a collection of lessons, but you're on the right track, but that doesn't really answer the question, just so you
it's
know.
It's a very profound, deep question that needs some
thought.
Need to give it some
all right,
thought.
You take some time. If you don't know yet. You know, it comes right to the bubbling to
I
the
can't
top.
Think of a thing.
Okay. Yeah, I would... pick my battles.
Pick your
good
battles.
One.
That's what you
That's
learned.
Good.
That's a good
That's
lesson.
That's a good one.
Choose your battles, yes.
Yeah, I think I get mad over every little thing and find any excuse to argue.
Well, choosing battles is an important lesson alone.
That's like a Mike vibe. You've been hanging out with Mike. That's what Mike Carter would say. Choose your battles. That's my theme. That sounds
you think so? I don't know. I can't really be objective. Jennifer, do you already know, or do you need time for something to bubble up?
I need to think about it.
Because you didn't really learn much last year.
She had a very profound answer, and that's difficult. She's a tough act to follow.
She's a tough act to follow, yes, she is.
No, not really.
Well, she's humble, too.
Not really. Humble and distracted. That's a T-shirt. Humble, yet distracted. So, Mr. Guest?
Yes.
I did want you to start with the story. And I would like you to do the poop pill, the frozen poop pill.
Yes.
And give the date on that story. So this is just so we get a little background.
October 11, 2014.
Okay. This is back in October. This is what was going on. So I'm listening.
Would you like me to read the article?
Read the article or what? Editorialize?
Never mind.
You can editorialize, please.
No, I would rather
Thrill me.
I'm going to let Karen Kaplan explain it better than I ever could.
Let's hear from Karen.
Would you swallow frozen poop in a pill? What if you're infected by a stubborn strain of Clostridium difficile and suffering from diarrhea bad enough to send you to a hospital? It may, okay, probably does sound gross, but researchers are embracing the concept of treating repeat C. difficile infections with fecal transplants.
Fecal transplants. Okay, I just have
They're
to let that
rage.
Sink in. I have to let that sink in. It's part of the lexicon, fecal transplants. Go ahead, please.
The idea is that a healthy person's poop contains the right mix of gut bacteria to keep the gastrointestinal tract running smoothly. By transplanting a sample from that microbiome into a person whose gut has been colonized by C. difficile, the recipient can get his or her GI tract back in working order.
Wow, that brings new meaning to that phrase, eat my... Anyway, I'm just saying.
For your health.
For your health. I mean, really. I want you to get better. Please, what is what you're saying, sir? Go ahead.
I mean, that wouldn't be the correct way of medicating yourself.
You know, it's frozen, you know, so, you know, a spoonful of sugar. No, just go ahead. I want to hear what the whole concept is.
Americans spend an estimated $3.2 billion a year battling C. difficile, and the bacterium is involved in about 14,000 American deaths each year.
14,000 deaths from this thing, whatever it is.
Yeah, so okay. a really bad form of diarrhea.
Okay, that's a good way to look at it. Go ahead.
According to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, cases appear to be rising as antibiotic-resistant bacteria become more prevalent, so doctors are becoming more open-minded about unconventional treatments.
Frozen poop pills. Good.
Several studies have demonstrated that the transplants really work. In a breakthrough report published last year...
Transplant. Okay, I'm just...
In the New England Journal of Medicine... Research reported that CDI patients who got a fecal transplant in addition to a bowel cleansing and the antibiotic fared far better than those who didn't. Of the 16 patients in the fecal transplant group, 13 saw their infections clear up after one treatment, and two of the remaining three got better after a second treatment, an overall cure rate of 94%.
So no longer could you say, you know, that phrase, eat and die. Now you should say eat and live. And live, there it is. It's like a greeting. Hey, eat and live, you know. So there it is. Chris, I say to you. Don't go there. Go ahead, please. Yes.
That compares with a 31% cure rate for CDI patients treated with the antibiotic
alone. So wait, what's the cure rate on this one?
94%.
94, and the best one was 31?
Yep.
Wow. Okay.
Nah, man. Eat my butt.
There it is. Like, you know, as long as you feel that you get the healthy stomach juices. Now, so is that the whole story there, pretty much?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, now.
It's funny, you like hanging out, and then you drop your bottle, and the pills all fall on the floor. And it's like,
stop.
And how is that spell?
Exactly. It's like, and they're no longer frozen. All right, so here is, now, Jennifer, bring us up to date. Now, that was in October. That's what was going on. Mm-hmm. Because what you didn't mention there is that the FDA didn't know what to do with this. Is that? Did you skip over that part there? It's they didn't know what to do. They're trying to figure out how to, like, you know, make it okay to get poop pills. Do you have that follow up story?
I do not have the follow up story.
Oh, here it is.
They said, you know what? I just have to let you know that the New Yorker had a huge article on this,
and that's because of the information that just broke.
They said nothing about the FDA in this article.
No. Well, if you want to know more about it, read the New Yorker article. Before there were pills, people were borrowing their neighbor's poop and putting it in their rear ends.
No, that's
follow up is diarrhea. Yeah.
Well, no, but you could do not try this at home, but people have, where you just borrow a healthy neighbor's stuff.
Yeah, borrow a healthy neighbor.
It's in the article in the New Yorker. There's people who will do it because before it was approved. Is it approved? Before it was approved, people were...
But she's gonna read that one.
And it's people who have Crohn's disease. I don't know if that's the same thing as that, but it also works for Crohn's disease.
Yes. What? The poop?
Yeah. And before the pill, which sounds gross, people would just have an actual transplant. Take it out of your body, put it right up in my rear end.
Well, now you see, that's what's in the article. They've approved it. It's been approved. FDA approved.
All you got to do is eat chicken McNuggets. I'm telling you right now, eat chicken McNuggets. That'll do it.
I wouldn't know.
No. And then you stick a chicken McNuggets right up your, you know what I mean? That'll work.
I thought you weren't going there. What?
We're going there.
He couldn't help himself.
Anyway, people who were very desperate before the approval were borrowing from neighbors.
Wow.
Doing it themselves.
Doing it the old-fashioned way.
Sisters are doing it for themselves. Chicken McNuggets.
That's just... I don't even know what to say, but it's so the frozen poop pill is very good. Now, meanwhile, other people elsewhere, you can read that story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The whole 3 hours is not going to be scandalous.
No, it's not all about
court. Fraudsters fake liquor contained human waste. Well, that's just gross.
It is.
That's not science.
Where's the joke in that?
A British fraudster who admitted to selling counterfeit bottles of booze containing human urine and feces was dubbed, quote, a danger to public health. The court heard Nicholas Stewart, 35, of Blackpool, England, not Blackstool, was caught selling sealed bottles labeled as brand name Smirnoff and Jack Daniel's liquor inside the Coral Island slot machine complex at the Blackpool Promenade. Blackpool Council prosecutor...
Why on earth? Is he on meth?
This is not a nice person.
To say the least. Where'd he go to school?
Does that matter?
I want to know.
I hope it's Harvard.
Go ahead.
They were purported to contain whiskey and vodka, but they were water laced with urine and feces, probably to give the so-called whiskey color. They were totally unsuitable for public consumption.
To give the whiskey color?
They were hazardous and contained dangerous E. coli bacteria. The man has been involved in 32 incidents and is persistent and troublesome offender.
But listen, the idea that he's trying to sell E. coli to people.
It's a psychopath.
That's just...
Right?
Yeah, that's sort of life. Yeah.
Or something.
Whatever he is, I can diagnose. He does not need to be loose. So go ahead.
Oh, dear. Cartmel said authorities are seeking a criminal antisocial behavior order to bar Stewart, quote, from selling anything.
Antisocial behavior. What is that order?
I guess in England they have something called a criminal antisocial behavior order, where I guess you could slap someone with that and then they can't sell
antisocial behavior
liquor order laced with feces.
Well, there
his
it is.
Defense attorney says he will fight the crabs crossbow because it would prevent Stewart from making a living selling the Big Issue magazine. It's a blanket ban in a set geographical area.
He can't sell magazines now? Why didn't he just stick to that?
I don't know. Just
all right, no, I'm sorry.
Trying to pick up a little extra cash.
I think so.
Pleaded guilty to a charge of fraud, branded him a danger to public health, 70-day jail term. That's it?
Wow. You can sell human waste and get 70 days.
Wow.
See, the context is different when a doctor does it. It's okay.
Stop.
Let's see. No, but it is okay. This individual has been a problem for consumers and retailers, and despite all our best efforts to deter him, has persisted with his scheme of attempting to sell fake alcohol.
Wow, so he's like this is what he does. It's what he does. This is like his
Everybody
thing.
Needs a niche, right?
He needs a hobby. It's his hobby, hey? It's my hobby.
The products being sold are valueless and in some cases could be dangerous to health. We're therefore pleased to have been able to bring him before the courts for these offenses, and we hope the sanctions that we've applied for will act as a further deterrent to him doing it again. And I certainly hope so as well.
Wow. Chris, you know this guy?
Yeah. I told you mine. Eat more chicken McNuggets.
Wow.
Again, with the stealth advertising.
McNuggets. Yeah, he is. He's a consumer. He's a consumer. He can't help himself.
No, if you put the...
He supports what he consumes.
If you change one word, chicken McNuggets, because chicken McNuggets is considered... Right?
I can't agree with anything you're saying.
Can't hear anything I'm saying?
No, I can't agree with anything you're saying. I can hear you fine.
Chicken McNuggets is just like fecal matter for some people, right? So...
popular.
Yes. In school he was. So
no, the McNuggets.
So there it is. And any thoughts on the
he's talking about something else and you're talking about something else.
It's called a sandbox conversation.
Yes, it is. All right. So you have another story. You want to go into a different topic. You had you scanned through a few there because
hang on a second with the articles for a moment here, okay? So, you didn't watch the Golden Globes, but Mike,
I saw the Golden Globes. What about it?
You saw the Golden Globes?
Yeah, I was somewhere and I saw some.
Wow. So, you were so right on. I got to say this. When you say something's a great film, you're always like something to be commended because you called it. You said that Birdman is an unbelievable film, and there it is. Michael Keaton's comeback movie, he wins the Golden Globe.
Let's not forget Whiplash and J.K. Simmons. J.K. Yeah. Simmons, I told you.
Yes. Well, I'm very impressed, everyone.
You didn't see
it
yet?
I need to see it.
Lance, what the hell?
I love Jazz Town. I need to see it.
Yeah, it's a great, great film. Great film. But did you get to see it yet? Yeah, Chris, you still didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it.
When you see it, you will not stop talking about it. I guarantee it.
Well, I can talk about a lot of things I haven't seen, just like you. But, Mike gives a review of a film he never saw.
Yes, I saw Birdman, Mike. It was excellent. I was thrilled.
You mean Buckwheat? Buckwheat used to do that. We used to have a caller called himself Buckwheat. He'd call up and he'd tell us his review of the film. He hadn't seen the film, but he saw the trailer. And he'd say, yeah, I saw the trailer. It's just
sometimes
Chris, piece
the trailer's all you need to see.
Oh, please.
Yes. She's right.
Yeah, only in that it tells you the whole damn movie.
Yeah, I hate that.
That's why I don't watch trailers. And I used to love trailers. I loved, just the tease.
Not a tease anymore. It is the whole
It's really
story.
Beat by beat. And then, she's a woman. It's like, what? You know this. So you're just waiting for it to happen. Mm-hmm. And it's very nice.
Mm-hmm. Your top pick, Mike, for Academy Awards, because they're going to be announced Thursday, your top pick?
I think Boyhood's going to win. I know what the nominations are. We already know what the nominations are. Yeah, come on. There's nothing, no big surprises there. Just in terms of who's going to win is what's...
So you think Boyhood's going to win because of the 12-year...
I think he'll win
Best
Director.
Gimmick?
It's not a gimmick. You have to respect an art form that's been around for 100 years, and people can still do things in that art form that haven't been done. Mm-hmm. So nothing else. It's an ambitious artistic experiment in the medium. You know,
right,
you're watching
true.
Watching these actors age in real time.
Right.
You know, we've seen sequels where actors get older as the sequels go on, but you never really see in one film. And it's definitely
And the writing's good too.
The writing's good. The writing is deceptively simple. You know, it's not any complex story. Nothing like super amazing happens, but it's enough for you to stay interested and just you're invested in them in a way like when you look at pictures of old relatives, you know, and you know them from then and you know them now. There's like a connection that's made.
It's like if we played 12 night shifts back to back.
Right. That'd be
24 hours.
Well,
how long is
years.
That film?
I don't know. It's like 2.5 hours or something. But it doesn't feel it. Doesn't feel
your
it.
Your butt doesn't feel it?
No, doesn't feel it. I'll give it that.
Really?
Does not feel it. No.
And you feel that film will be nominated, yes?
I think it'll be nominated, yes.
Foxcatcher, do you think that'll be nominated?
You know, probably. I mean, you can nominate 10 films now, so sure. It's definitely going to be nominated. I don't think the nominations aren't going to be any big surprise. It's a question of what wins. Though I do think J.K. Simmons is going to win.
Best actor of the year?
Definitely.
Over Michael Keaton?
No. Best supporting actor. Best supporting actor. Michael Keaton. I think this is Michael Keaton's year. I think they're going to give it to him.
Because, you know, you always loved Michael Keaton.
I couldn't say I always loved him. I was.
You did. This is not.
Youth is your fantasy of me.
In the middle of something. I'll be.
All right. Listen.
Michael Keaton is somebody Chris. I love, and I remember this distinctly. I remember it at least 4 times in my life. Go ahead. You want to get back to? Go ahead. Go back.
I can't even get into.
Go ahead. I'm just reminiscing about our 12 years. Over the last 12 years, at least 4 times, you told me how much you love Michael Keaton.
This is so not true. I don't even know what to say.
No, I'm telling you. Lance, go back to the show. Listen.
This is what he does. He gets louder, and then he starts trying to pull people in. Lance, you're with me, aren't you? You're in this.
Lance knows. I love Lance. Lance is like the most awesome dude. I don't know how in the world he can put up with you, but I mean, I get it. You know what I mean?
What's that?
He's been in a lot of bad movies. This is like his first good film in a while.
Who? Michael Keaton. Yeah, he's been, you know, Michael Keaton to me was always, you know, he's definitely got a range, and this was a perfect role for him. You know, part of, I think, what makes a role really stand out is when you're perfectly cast, you know, for something. And he was perfectly cast for this. That, just like, though, I will say, did you see Gone Girl? Did you see that?
Gone Girl was great.
I read the book.
Okay.
Is it good? I would not recommend it. It's for people
you,
who don't
you
read
you see the
much.
Movie? Did you see the movie?
No, but...
Okay.
Well, the movie's probably a totally different thing than the book.
But
now that I've read the book, all the surprises are ruined, so I haven't bothered to see it.
Well, I'll tell you, what's his name? Tyler Perry is a kind of a revelation in there. He's perfectly cast. Perfectly cast.
I'll wait for DVD.
Yeah, well, he's worth seeing in it. But there it is. Speaking about perfectly cast. All right, so, Mr. Guest?
Yes?
Do you know which story you're going to go to next?
Yes.
Okay, you'll appreciate this one, Chris. Okay?
Okay.
The title is Islamic Scholar Issues, Fatwa Banning Snowmen.
Banning snowmen.
They have snow?
I would ban snowmen too.
Keep going. It's a fatwa.
Set in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and written on January 12, 2015, a fatwa issued by Saudi religious scholar Muhammad Saleh al-Minjed bans the creation of snowmen, saying it is too Western of a practice. It is not permitted to make a statue out of snow, even by way of play and fun.
It is not permitted.
No fun.
To make
permitted.
A statue out of snow. Just like, wow, like, you know, they're coming through the city.
No snowman. Go back into your home. Drop that snowball, son.
You know, go ahead.
After a snowstorm on the Arabian Peninsula,
children started building snow camels, a rare incident that inspired the fatwa.
Snow camels.
Can they do a camel and not a man?
That's what people don't understand.
That's what people don't understand. That you gotta
I'm going to ban snow camels here.
Supporters of the fatwa say the creation of snowmen, or snow camels rather, is a crude imitation of the West. It has no value in our traditions, and those who are fascinated
it
by the West...
It has no value! Wow. Go ahead. It's
and
like
those,
Dr. Zayas said...
And those who are fascinated by the West should emulate their inventions and sciences, not their culture, said a pro-fatwa blogger. The camels, built in the northern part of the country, were a nod to the local culture. We have snow for fleeting days, maybe even hours, and there's always someone who wants to rob us of the joy and the fun, said opposing blogger Miss Hall.
Rob us of the joy and the fun by building a snowman.
It seems the only thing left for us is to sit down and drink coffee.
Yeah, I hear you. And they go, remember, and they put on Frozen.
And women, they can't drive there,
snowman?
Right?
What? I'm just saying, and they'll be like, no, we can't. They'll outlaw the song. I'm sorry. I'm just saying, you know. So what do you think Danny will have to say about this? What do you think Danny will say?
Well, I mean, you know, Mike, they're probably banning snow toilets after that, which is Mike's class. You know.
No, that was not my... The snow toilet was just, you know... There was,
yeah, well, why don't you tell our guests about the snow toilet that you made when you were a little kid?
You know...
We were going to get beyond the scatological.
The scatological.
Let's evolve.
When Mike was like 8 years old, he used to build snow
not
toilets.
Not 8 years old, like 15.
Oh, you were 15 years old, you would build snow toilets.
Well, I would build massive things. All right, but you know what?
That's
you have
neat, actually.
Oh, I used to build. I built the whole bathroom on my front lawn.
That's great.
Except the kids came around and started, you know, doing stuff.
Using it.
What? I did. I had a whole bag. I even built the Devil's Tower, you know, from Close Encounters.
Oh.
That Devil's
I'm more
tower.
Impressed with the toilet.
You
know,
really?
But yeah, that's so
giant.
Creative. I never would think
and
of that.
Mike
you never would have thought of
get dog poo and put it in the snow.
No,
toilet.
That's what the kids on the block would do. All right, but you have a snow story. Where's your snow story?
Do I?
Yes.
Oh, well, you know
yes.
what?
Go
I
ahead.
Kind of, in my mind, was going to read this as a little uplifting story
that's
after
a little uplifting.
This horrible other story
okay.
you gave me.
Okay. Well, all right.
I don't even
you
think I want to read the whole story. I think to read the headline is enough.
No, you have to read some of the story. All right, read the headline then.
Rise in mass die-off seen among birds, fish, and marine invertebrates. Invertebrates?
Go on, continue.
That's so depressing.
It doesn't end there. She's got
an
one, and I've got one.
727 mass die-offs of nearly 2,500 animal species from the past 70 years has found that such events are increasing among birds, fish, and marine invertebrates. At the same time, the number of individuals killed appears to be decreasing for reptiles and amphibians and unchanged for mammals. So we're going to be all right. Such mass mortality events occur when a large percentage of a population dies in a short time frame. While the die-offs are rare and fall short of extinction, they can pack a devastating punch, potentially killing more than 90% of a population in one shot. However, until this study, there
90% of a population in one shot.
That sucks.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
What about the tigers? Anyway. However, until this study, there's been no quantitative analysis of the patterns of mass mortality events among animals. This is the first attempt to quantify patterns in the frequency, magnitude, and cause of such mass kill events.
Mass professor kill or another. Event.
The study, published Monday in the Proceedings of National Academy of Sciences, was led by researchers at UC Berkeley, blah, blah, blah. The researchers reviewed incidents of mass kills documented in scientific literature. Although they came across some sporadic studies dating back to the 1800s, the analysis focused on the period from 1940 to the present. The researchers acknowledged that some of their findings may be due to an increase in the reporting of mass die-offs in recent decades, but they noted even after accounting for some of the reporting bias, there's still an increase in mass die-offs for certain animals. Overall, disease was the primary culprit, 26%. Direct effects tied to humans, such as environmental contamination, caused 19%. Biotoxicity triggered by events such as algae bloom blooms accounted for a significant portion of deaths, and processes directly influenced by climate, including weather extremes, thermal stress, oxygen stress, collectively contribute to about 25%. The most severe events were those with multiple causes. Are you depressed yet? You want me to
please
continue, because I'm taking it all in.
Oh. The catastrophic nature of such sudden mass die-off of animal populations inherently captures human attention. In our studies, we've come across mass kills of federal fish species during the summer drought season as small streams dry up. Majority of studies we reviewed were of fish. When oxygen levels are depressed in the water column, the impact can affect a variety of species. The study found that a number of mass mortality events had been increasing by about one event per year over the 70 years the study covered. While this might not seem like much, I think it does, one additional mass mortality event per year over 70 years translates into a considerable increase in the number of these events being reported each year, said some guy. Going from one event to 70 each year is a substantial increase, especially given the increased magnitudes of mass mortality, even for some of these organisms. This study suggests that in addition to monitoring physical changes, such as changes in temperature and precipitation patterns, it's important to document the biological response to regional and global environmental change. The researchers highlighted ways to improve documentation of such events in the future. The initial patterns are a bit surprising in terms of documented changes and to frequencies of occurrences, magnitudes of each event, and the cause of mass mortality.
Wow.
Said.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yet these data show that we have a lot of room to improve how we document and study these types of rare events. Funding from the Environmental Protection Agency and the National Science Foundation helps support this research. Well, I'm depressed now.
Well, you know, I have to say, though, I can picture, and I'm curious what you have to say, mystery guest, knowing the world that you've inherited, how do you feel as a young person hearing what has happened to the planet and what has already been lost?
I'm not surprised, really. Just disappointed and just thinking about ways that I could try to make a difference and to surround myself with like-minded people who don't litter, who don't throw their garbage in ocean water and all of that.
Who maintain a low carbon footprint.
Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a practical way of approach. How do you echo those sentiments there, Lance?
Yes.
In terms of awareness?
Yeah, absolutely. I think more... I don't know, my mind is a little more cynical in being to think that a change could happen so quickly. So when you hear things like that, it just... I have to take a minute to process this.
That's a legitimate answer. All right. Well, I won't continue, but I do have more stories along those lines, just painting the picture of the kind of world we've made. Now, I also saw a movie this evening, Chris, Black Hat.
Oh yeah, the spy kind of.
You kind of sort of, and I must say, you know, it's Michael Mann, you know, and it's Chris Hemsworth.
Yep.
You know, and you know, I felt like, you know, that you have to suspend your disbelief a certain amount.
A lot.
For me, it was especially the first act was really a stretch. You know, really a stretch. I mean, the tech is fun and interesting and believable. And that's the you know, part of the main conceit of the film. You know, whether or not tech nerds are as hunky as Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, I'm not buying it.
You know, he's all right.
Well, he's, you know, every woman that came out of the movie was like, it was great. It was great. It was great. When he took his shirt off, best part.
Yeah, yes. I wasn't picking up on that.
Yeah, I was. I spoke to at least three. Anyway, but a few things for me, you know, I really had to push to suspend my disbelief. Chris Hemsworth is a bit of a cipher, I feel. You know, I think he was going for something. He, you know, I feel over time he'll become a better and better an actor because he's not bad. You know, he's definitely got presence. He reminds you of like a young Brad Pitt mixed with like a really young Tommy Lee Jones. You know what I mean? And I was distracted by the digital, the fact that it was shot digital. Just, it takes me out of the movie. It lessens the scope. I still haven't embraced this whole digital motion picture thing. And it's digital, and then it's projected digitally. And the type of, you know, Michael Mann is always about lighting and framing and things like that. And there's just a lot of
Michael Mann is
I know. And
Michael Mann, I really wouldn't be who I am today.
Well, that's an interesting
What's
statement.
What's his big movies?
Well, he never really had a big movie, but he was always, he made a film called, like, his
Thief.
Manhunter, which was, like, kind of like the Hannibal Lecter thing.
It was the first one.
He comes up with films, he misses the mark, and then people copy his thing. But he was...
He did Ali. He did
Ali.
Oh,
that was good. I like that.
He did Heat.
But, no, I like Michael Mann because he's always... You know, but so the digital thing is bothering you now.
It bothered me. I felt it was a less assured hand in terms of the visuals and the lighting, and it just, you know, there's, for me, I maybe over time I'll just get used to it, but it just feels like you're watching video. I like the look of film, and it does not look like film. There was one sequence where all of a sudden it became so obvious. It was distracting. It was like, wow, what happened in this whole section here? What did they shoot here? Because it just felt and looked...
But if it had been like a riveting, a brilliant script, you might not have even noticed.
Maybe. So there are a few things working against it. I don't want to give too much away, but there are a number of things where you're like... Okay, so they just leave him in a room with a cache of guns, knowing he's going to run. All right, you know, there are a couple things like that, you know, and that's not literally from the film, but there are just a few things where, okay, you know, you're going to take that leap of faith, and then there are certain characters you're like, okay, well, who does she work for? You know, who is she answered to? You know, what is...
See, I had problems with...
Do you agree? Do you agree with these criticisms there?
Well, you know, I had trouble believing a lot of it.
Yeah, all right. Well, there. overall.
Not terrible.
It's not terrible at all. But you can see why they're dumping it in January. That's all I can say. What were you going to say, Chris?
What I was going to say was I had a problem with the new Star Wars because of a lot of the...
What new Star Wars?
Things.
You didn't see the... Oh, you mean the new Star...
The new Star Wars, when he went to, like, more of the digital format, I started, like, noticing things that just didn't feel... just doesn't feel the same. Digital does not feel the same as film. It's just... there's an inherent thing. And I guess that, you know, they've analyzed it as, you know, how your eye perceives...
Well, you know, yeah, you know, that's why 24 frames, 24p was such a revolution for video, because it's normally 30 frames per second, and that's what gives you that, you know, different type of illusion when you're looking at it and you're looking at video, you know, and you know the difference. This, digitally shot and digitally projected is just going to look digital, you know. Sometimes they... shoot and film and then digitally project, but more and more films are getting made digitally, and that's just the future.
Yeah, no, the future is that we're living in a world that, you know, somebody from, you know, Idaho, you know, 17-year-old first boy or girl or whatever is going to make a really good story, and it's going to be all digital, like you said, and it's going to really just because, like, you know, like you were just saying about it, the story was better. You know, does the medium that you're shooting it on make any difference? That's the question. You know, if you're so engrossed in what you're seeing, then you just, you know, it doesn't bother you.
I felt that way with the last...
But are the days of...
Lord of the Rings.
Wow, what an incredible looking Technicolor film. Are those days, you know, over? I mean, I can look at some Alfred Hitchcock films that were shot in Technicolor, and it is just there's a whole different look, and it looks amazing to me. You know, some of the shots. You know, there's a just like To Catch a Thief, which was with Cary Grant, which just some of the shots in that from the Technicolor of what Hitchcock did at the time was just outstanding. You know, and you know, you're not going to get that same translation of digital does not translate anything near that kind of an impact. So
I agree.
And for you to be pointing this out now, that's a statement right there. We should write this down because 12 years from now, because Lance and I are working on the 12-year project of Night Shift, you know, every you know, that's what we're going to do. So 12 years from now, we'll see what you have to say about that. What do you think of that?
I think that, you know, we're going to end up being like those guys who said, I don't want CDs, vinyl is better. And, you know, and people like the mystery guest here will be like, well, I don't know what the difference is. You don't care about film versus video, the way Lord of the Rings looked. I mean, The Hobbit looked versus how it was seeing, you know, Hitchcock on screen.
No, I like the way Hitchcock, I like the film quality of Hitchcock better.
Well, there it is.
See? So it'll
be personal preference.
Somebody knows the goodness of film. You see, there it is. Point it out, Mike. There it is.
Okay. Chris is very happy that you agreed with him.
Can we get back to the destruction of the planet?
Yes, we can. We're going back to the destruction
of the planet. I just want to say, yes. Have you heard of the book The Sixth Extinction by Elizabeth Colbert?
I've
okay.
heard of it.
Wow. I've read excerpts of it.
Okay.
I just thought this would fit in with your stories here. There's a chapter in the book about a woman whose job it is to manually stimulate this endangered bird.
Her job is to manually stimulate, you mean
to
like...
To collect the semen.
Yes, I've read about people who do it with pigs.
Yeah.
Yes, what kind of job is
this? This is a rare bird.
A rare bird.
They're going to die out, so they're collecting his semen.
And this is what she does for a living?
Yeah, and I just thought giving hand jobs to birds, who would have thought that's somebody's job, right?
And
that's all I got out of that book.
A rarefied job. There
the planet's dying, and that's all I got out of that book.
It's
brilliant stuff, but I'm sad to say that's the thing that stood out the most to me. But it's really well written. She's really good. It's just depressing stuff.
All right. Mr. Guest, you have a story here about the flamingos. Please.
I mean, I wanted to read about South Korea and the selfies, but...
All right. Well, you can read about South Korea and the selfies, because I think that this is significant. And then you have a selfie stories, too.
Sounds like a band. Korea and the selfies.
South Korea and the selfies. There it is. Good name for a band. Go ahead.
South Korea cracking down on bootleg selfie sticks. South Korean officials announced a crackdown on sales of unapproved selfie sticks that could lead to jail time for sellers. The country signs... Yes. God forbid you sell a selfie stick and go to jail. Oh, so sorry. The country science ministry said the Bluetooth-enabled devices, which allowed users to take photos of themselves with extra reach, are classified as communications equipment and must be certified by the government to ensure they comply with regulations, including the level of electromagnetic radiation.
Why these cats blow the maddest mess of music ever?
Right? Officials said Bluetooth devices that don't conform to regulations could cause nearby devices to malfunction. The ministry said a heavy crackdown is carried out on sellers of unapproved selfie sticks, and retailers found to be offering the products could face fines up to $2,700 or up to 3 years in jail. 3 years in jail for selling a selfie stick.
You know, I have to say, I think that selfie sticks are... all right, I don't really want to say anything until you go to your selfie stick story, Jennifer. to your selfie stick
same
story.
Same journalist.
Okay.
A couple months later, similar story, but different. Soccer teams, Arsenal Hotspurs, ban selfie sticks. Can I just sum it up there? They're banning them there in London because people are using them as weapons at games. You don't need the whole story, do you?
I do. I need everything.
Okay. I just summed it up for you.
Okay, all right. No, I don't need everything then. Fine. they are dangerous. I've thought that from the beginning. It's like, it'd be a good thing, like, if you're a woman, you could have a selfie stick. It could serve as something to take selfies when you're out with your friends, or to fend off, you know, offenders.
Poke them.
Do you agree? Well, just whip it at them.
I would like to see what they look like.
You don't
understand.
Could
I poke someone with it?
Could you what?
You could poke them? If you walk around with a big umbrella, that also makes you feel a little bit more confident. So maybe a selfie stick would work in the same way. You could poke somebody if they're getting too close. That's fine. For women's self-defense, I'm for that.
So you're all for
poking
that.
People with
and Mr. Guess, what's your thought on that, Mr. Guess?
I just think they're finding some reason to ban something else.
Just, you feel that it means nothing.
Ban it when an actual malfunction happens. Ban it if there's an actual
problem.
Well,
this is a preemptive strike. You don't think that makes
sense.
Well,
you don't want to wait till somebody's stabbed in the eye with one.
It said electromagnetic radiation and nearby devices to malfunction. So the actual device itself would just break.
Yeah, but the one she read, did you left out a little bit of detail? They said that they could be used as weapons.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And there's this part of this whole law they have going on there that says you can't have anything that could possibly be used as a weapon.
Remake it.
See, we're much older than the mystery guest and the young people.
The young people.
They're
not as fearful as we are, you know?
They don't know people could just up and just start selling
poking
human
you
waste
with stuff.
And just for the hell of it. That's like, that's your thing. Hey, this is what I do. What do you mean? What do you mean, hazard? Exactly.
How did they confuse it with alcohol?
Exactly.
How did they even confuse human waste with alcohol?
Well, he gave it that whiskey color.
Good Lord. See,
he had come
the
up with
taste.
A, he had a formula where he, you know, certain part water.
He could have used, like, dirt or mud. But this man really does not like people.
Yeah.
Clearly.
It's not that he was trying to pick up a few extra bucks.
You think that
he doesn't like people.
Yeah, I could pretty much say.
He could have found an easier way. There's dirt. You can go to a park, get soil out of the ground.
Get soil out of the ground. Yeah, you could have.
I guess that was too much.
But it might not be you might not get that whiskey
Sounds
color.
Sounds like a lot of effort to get a waste.
You might not get it's so the gross. Whiskey color. He you know. No one
He's not a nice person.
Get no. orange juice and dirt. That's there. Get the whiskey color.
Okay. All right. Chris?
Yeah?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Are you still there, Chris?
Yes, I'm right here.
Are you there, Chris?
Yes, I'm right here. Here I am.
I hear you.
You hear me? Yes, I'm right here.
I do. I know you are. I was okay. Just messing with you.
Go ahead.
Chris?
Yes.
Are you there?
That's really fun.
It is. Now, Jennifer,
mm-hmm.
You read your story, and Mr. Guest, why did you want to read that selfie story? Did it stand out to you? Do you want a selfie stick?
I just wondered why South Korea would ban a selfie. Thing, like what their take on it was.
Okay, that's a legitimate answer. Okay, I'm just having some technical difficulties here and getting things in proper queue, so... So forgive me if there's some lapses here. But you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. And the name of the show?
It's Night Shift.
Are you on there? talk to me, Jennifer?
You want me to read a story? Some lighthearted fairy?
A lighthearted fairy. I do. I do. I'm just trying to figure out why I can barely hear.
Barely hear what?
I can barely hear anything, yeah.
That happens over time. If you use a lot of headphones, you wear a lot of headphones.
Thank you.
Did you know that Gary Oldman's getting divorced? Could you imagine that? For the fifth time or fourth time. I just thought that was interesting.
What?
Could you imagine Gary Oldman getting divorced again for the fourth time? And you're like, well, who cares? But could you imagine being married to Gary Oldman? Could you imagine what that was like?
Well, you know, I think, what's his name? Larry King was been married, like, divorced. Like, he paid, like, six alimonies or something. There's some ridiculous amount of times. He's like, you know, he's... It's something like, do you know? Do you have any idea what it is?
I don't know how many times he's been married, but...
Can you look that up there, Lance? See how many times has Larry King been divorced?
Larry King was married seven times.
Seven times?
Seven times.
That's really, yeah, he was,
That's the magic number.
He was giving Elizabeth Taylor a run for her money, basically. So, there it is.
But somebody that was 71 just married somebody that was like, I don't know, what was I? What's his name? Isn't he 71, the actor from Jurassic Park? He's 71.
Who are you talking about?
I don't know, but I'm a little more sad about Chris Rock's divorce than Gary Oldman's.
Oh, there you go, 18 years. Well, you saw that comedy. Chris Rock's very funny.
I'm very sad about that.
He complained about his wife.
Sad.
That's right.
I know, now I'm starting to think that when they complain about their wives... Look out, there's a divorce in the future.
Huh? They complain about their wives on stage?
Yeah, it's part of the act.
Well, maybe he was working it out, though, as an artist, like Woody Allen. He made a movie called I Think I Love My Wife.
I know, that bothered me.
He was considering it.
That bothered me when I heard the title of that.
Well, that's...
Yeah, I didn't see that one.
It was a remake of a...
What'd you think of Top 5, or have you already talked about it?
Yeah, I talked about it. I thought it was brilliant. I loved it. I loved it. Great.
Best thing
he's ever done, hands down.
So you think he was on such a high from this, he's like, I can get myself some...
Well, you know, let me put it this way. If I were going to look into his recent success, I would look into why it is a success and how he's grown as an artist. And in many ways, I feel that he's come into his own. So if he's come into his own... And then he gets divorced. It only suggests that, you know, whatever, he's coming, you know, he's being more honest with himself. And
well, he should have been more honest 19 years ago.
Oh, what is that? What does that even mean?
I just feel bad for the
wife. Maybe they just fell out of love with each other. It happens. You don't know.
Well, you know,
I don't know anything about their marriage. I wouldn't even talk about it.
You know, it's a good stretch. I'm sure she'll get a decent alimony, so I'm not going to lose too much sleep over her.
What about the loss of love? Who cares about the money?
Well, I was saying that, and you're like, well, he's grown as an artist, so he can dump his wife.
I didn't say he's grown as an artist, so he can dump his wife. I'm just saying, you were trying to extrapolate his recent success into how it might have some bearing on the divorce. And I'm saying...
I guess now he doesn't mind being the old guy in the club.
That's embarrassing.
He's not, though, because he doesn't have to go to a club to meet women, because they're going to be throwing themselves at him.
Rock can have his pick as they
say. I know, I'm a little sad.
He's going to have the pick of the litter.
I'm not too worried about him and his adventures of his penis.
It sounds to me that you would date Chris Rock in a minute.
You don't know anything about my taste. Anyway, I liked him because his stand-up, I felt like, oh, he keeps it real. He talks about all the tension in relationships, and it's like, oh, that kind of tension equals divorce someday. So maybe it's not like, you know, I don't know.
I get it.
When I was a kid, I always thought, like, Howard Stern was the biggest jerk. I still find him to be horribly misogynist and makes me sick. Like, he'll make me laugh once in a while, but...
He makes you sick. Is that what you said?
Yeah, when I was a kid, I was just like, oh, this man is so disrespectful to his wife. And as a child, you know, I thought, oh, who could be married? Listen to the way he talks about his wife. And so, you know, I was prophetic. I was an oracle as a child, apparently, because I always knew that this was not the way to treat your wife. And that ended in divorce. Yeah, even after making that movie where he's like, but I lust after all these women left and right, but then... You know, I really just love my wife.
Who said this? Who said this?
That was his stupid movie, Private Parts. Like, the theme of it was like, yeah, strippers, and I talk about breasts constantly and, you know, make fun of family life. But I'm really just a great family guy at heart. And then it's like, then he gets divorced for a young thing. You know. Anyway, I'll stop being upset.
No, you can be upset. Something's going on. There's some really overall weirdness going on here.
Jeff Goldblum was the actor from Jurassic Park, and he just married somebody younger, like 30 years younger than him. And, you know, he's 62, and but it was somebody else. But, you know, I get it. I mean, Howard Stern is Howard Stern. I mean, he, you know, monopolized what being that person and made a lot of money, and that's, you know, there's
a lot of money to be made, and, you know, I don't know, there's just a lot of misogyny in American comedy.
There's nothing to be said for bad taste. That's, you know, I mean, I get it. I get what you're saying about Stern, you know. I always felt that, you know, he was going to pay a karma for, like, I thought he made fun of, I thought he went too far, like, making fun of homeless people and different things like that. At, you know, sometimes with the show, he had some Wheel of Fortune, and the person, he had homeless people on there competing with each other, and then whoever won a whole shopping cart of cans. I just thought that was, I didn't think that was really funny. I thought that was kind of, like, mean and mean-spirited comedy, so to speak. And, you know, I thought he would pay a karma, as Mike and I would always say. But,
yeah, I like it when you see the karma happening. But
yeah.
We don't... Yeah, well, maybe it's yet to come.
I don't know. I mean, actually, him maybe getting divorced. But then
he's loving it.
He's getting divorced? Who are you talking about now?
I don't think that's karma.
Howard Stern's getting divorced, too?
No, not with the new wife.
No.
But we're saying what was his karma. We may not see the karma. We may not be...
Ah.
Is the sound distorted in your headphones?
But...
Hello.
Who's this?
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Happy New Year. It's been a while, Mike.
Tony, I owe you $50 because I went right through the toll yesterday. I saw you. I waved. I just kept going.
That's all right. Well, you know what? Howard Stern's wife divorced him, and she remarried before he did.
Yeah, she divorced him because he was so disrespectful and horrible to her, and she couldn't take it anymore.
And she had someone waiting in the wings because she got married before he did.
How about that?
He got his money! Sorry.
I'm not mad at her.
Of course not. She, you know, it's an exchange. Let's put it like that.
You know, I mean, I'm reading about Jack Nicholson, and he says that he's
lonely.
I know, he's sad and lonely.
Boo-hoo.
And he's lonely. You know, now, come on.
No woman will trust me. Yeah, no, he's definitely sad and lonely.
Yeah.
You know what, Mike?
Yeah.
I finally went to your website and saw your picture. I was like, oh.
What website?
Oh.
What website?
Life is Stranger Than...
Oh, Life is Like Science Fiction.
Thank you. I finally went to that.
What do you think of him, Mike? Sexy looking.
This is Mike Sargent. Okay.
Yeah. Sexy looking, ain't he?
My candy here.
Mike Sargent, eye candy.
More in the picture, though, you look kind of gruff, but still it was sexy.
I look gruff.
Yeah,
well, I am gruff. I'm a gruff kind of guy.
Kind of sexy.
Because of my gruffness.
Yeah, but it was so sexy to me. I was like,
well,
okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony.
All right.
You're put a little more bass in my voice. So, Tony.
That's very nice.
Thank you for noticing my gruffness.
How sweet.
What's that? Well, thank you, Tony. Tony, so I want to know, what did you learn in the last year?
Well, see, I went through so much last year. I just learned how resilient I am.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's good.
See, I had a fire the previous year, and I was on the comeback trying to get my life back in order.
And are
in
you
my
on
my apartment.
Are you back?
Yeah, I've got a new place. And look, believe it or not, I was part-time on the Turnpike. They made me full-time. I got three jobs, actually.
Wow. Are you West Indian?
No, it's funny because one of the managers out here, I was joking with her, she's from Jamaica, and I told her, yes, I'm out here working like a Jamaican.
A Jamaican.
She's
I hear you. So, all right. Now, I have one more question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you certain you will make happen this year?
Well, I have an invention in mind, and I'm going to get it patented. and I'm going to get it going, really. That's what I'm going to make some things happen where I don't have to depend on the job for the rest of my life. I'll be able to get rid of the three jobs.
I understand. All right. Well, that's good. Is it, it's an invention of yours?
Yeah. I'm sitting there thinking, you know, like they said, the best thing to do is to find something that will be of service to someone else. And
right.
And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be very helpful to people.
Is it an oatmeal delumpifier?
No. No,
it's really
but it's something for safety. It's actually something for safety.
All right, something for safety.
Yeah, it is. It's a hat.
I understand.
Special hat that you wear and you're invisible.
And that's coming, believe me. People think that you're headless.
That would be nice. Listen, but can you imagine people walking around? You know, the freaks would be out naked under the hat.
Listen. Here's what I see. You can get a scarf that, you know, it's essentially an invisibility scarf, and you put it on, you wrap it around your head, and you walk down the street, sunglasses, and it's like you have no head, just sunglasses. And I'd be into it. I'd do it.
Yeah. I bet you
I'd get one.
I'd wear it.
Of course you would. Everybody would. Everybody would be walking around the whole city. You go to certain areas. Everybody's wrapped, and you just see sunglasses floating, walking around.
I can tell you for that. You know, because we got Big Brother everywhere, and
exactly.
The cameras everywhere.
Exactly. Thank you.
That's a great segue.
Thank you. They got that invisibility material already. They already invented it.
You know, all the facial recognition technology in the cameras, this will screw it all up.
Yep.
I'm with it. Right,
invisibility scarves.
You could go through New York City feeling like, you know what? You don't never know where you are.
That's right.
There's a camera on you everywhere you're going now. That's pretty much, you know, you got to be so careful because you can't be naked under your clothes anymore like that. You know what I mean?
That was the kind of world we'd made.
I'm telling you, it's scary. I used to think that it wasn't scary, but it's scary out there.
That was the kind of world we'd made.
There's a camera watching us at any time.
Well, you know, Gary Knoll the other day, he was saying with your flat screen TV, there's a camera watching you right there in your house. It's in the small print, you can all read it.
There's a camera in your house, what?
On your flat screen TV.
How about if you have an old TV?
There's a camera and a microphone in.
In every TV, the ones that they made everybody buy at Walmart for $200, the ones that are on sale, they don't tell you there's a camera in there?
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. Could you imagine you're the person that has to watch these people walking around, having sex, living their lives?
People would want that job, believe me.
There's a camera in my TV. Mike, there's a camera in the TV.
And microphone.
What about in an old TV? Like I have a big butt TV.
Well, you have a big butt TV.
Does that have a camera in it?
He said it's the more refreshing flat screen one.
Oh, good. Then I'm never going to get rid of this until it breaks. Then I'm just going
to
go.
Well, you know, it is legal for the government to tap into your camera's phone and whatnot, whatever they need to, whether they want to triangulate or whatever. That just happened. That went in the law. You didn't even know. Boom. Like
who made those laws? Who made that one?
That's the question.
It's all behind all this, what is it, Homeland Security and...
Oh, exactly. Evil?
The Patriot Act. That's what I'm talking
You know, about. I mean, it's terrible and I hate it, but it doesn't scare me as much under Obama. But under, you know, if we get another Bush or what, I'm going to be afraid.
Oh, is that what you think is going to happen?
I don't even want to think about it. I mean, they already have Congress, you know... It's just too frightening to...
Romney's going to run again, you know. Romney will be, you know, going to run again.
I don't even know.
It's all going to change. Everything
Mike
is going to change.
Run.
Yeah. I'll just keep running.
I'll vote for you.
Well, you are tuned to listen to Sponsored Radio. WBAI. The name of the show.
So this is a story about...
All right, you have a story for us. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm ready. Since it's a good segue.
Okay.
Into this story, okay, since we're talking about Big Brother a bunch.
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Computers using digital footprints are better judges of personality than friends and family.
Yes.
Researchers have found that based on enough Facebook likes, computers can judge your personality traits better than your friends, family, and even your partner. Using a new algorithm, researchers have calculated the average number of likes artificial intelligence needs to draw personality and inferences about you as accurately as your partner or parents. So, new study published today in the journal PNAS compares the ability of computers and people to make accurate judgments about our personalities. People's judgments were based on their familiarity with the judged individual, while computer models used a specific digital signal, Facebook likes. The results show that by mining Facebook likes, the computer model was able to predict a person's personality more accurately than friends and family. Given enough likes to analyze, only a person's spouse rivaled the computer for accuracy of broad psychological traits. Researchers at University of Cambridge and Stanford University described the findings as empathetic demonstration of the capacity of computers to discover...
Empathetic demonstration?
Yeah, of computers to discover an individual's psychological traits through pure data analysis, showing machines can know us better than we've previously thought. It's a important milestone on the path towards a more social human computer interactions. In the future, computers could be able to infer our psychological traits and react accordingly, leading leading to the emergence of
emotion. You need to calm down, Dave. Take a chill pill and relax.
In this context, the human-computer interactions depicted in science fiction films such as Her seem to be within our reach. The researchers say these results might raise concerns over privacy. Thank you. Such as such technology develops.
Don't worry, Jennifer. Everything's okay.
Just take your medicine.
Exactly.
The research teams support policies giving users full control of their digital footprint. In the study, a computer could more accurately predict the subject's personality than a work colleague by analyzing just 10 likes. And so on. Anyway.
Analyzing 10 likes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are... what you like.
So...
on Facebook. All right, go ahead.
I'm just skipping around here. Big data and machine learning provide accuracy that human mind has a hard time achieving. Nevertheless, the authors conclude that the detection of some traits might be best left to human abilities, those without digital footprints or dependent on subtle cognition. The authors of the study write that automated, accurate, and cheap personality assessments could improve societal and
cheap personality assessments? Is that what they said?
Could improve societal and personal decision making in many ways, from recruitment to romance.
Cheap personality assessment.
Mm-hmm. The ability to judge personality is an essential component of social living, from day-to-day decisions to long-term plans such as who to marry, trust, hire, or elect as president.
Mm.
Just let the computer do it all for you.
Mm.
The results of such data analysis can be useful in aiding people when making decisions. I don't know. I'm a little skeptical.
Well, you know, it's an algorithm. It's an algorithm.
Mm-hmm.
It'll tell you more about you than you know. And this more social interaction. I like that whole concept there.
The researchers say that this kind of data mining and its inferences has hallmarks of techniques currently used by some digital service providers, and that for many people, a future in which machines read our habits as an open book on a massive scale may seem dystopian to those concerned with privacy.
Well, now you see, not only is it dystopian, but it means that you're prejudged. So there will be certain doors will be closed to you, not just from your credit now,
right,
from everything about you.
Yeah, this is why I'm a technophobe.
That's right.
A proud
You liked that
Luddite.
Exploding cat photo, didn't you?
What? I don't know about that.
The exploding cat photo. We have it right here in our files. You liked it.
I didn't.
2013. You clicked like on the exploding cat. No, I'm kidding. That's just saying.
I see.
That's
it. She was talking about she was a technophobe. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Yeah, I'm not into Facebook. I don't have a Facebook account.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's right.
I mean, I like to socialize with people in person. That's just me.
Yeah, let's socialize right now. Let's go to the library and read. Let's go. I'll go. We'll sit in the library and read books.
And that's another thing. You know, like, it's all well and good to read online, but reading a book is a different experience than reading online. It just is. Or even an e-book,
where
all of a sudden, you know, then you're playing with the other parts of your gadget, you know?
Yeah, Mike's good at that. Mike's good at playing with other things.
Not that that's all bad, but...
No. Now, Mr. Yes, you have a very interesting story.
Oh, no.
Yes. And I put this, you know, you should put this up on the Facebook there so people could see. I think, is it on the Facebook? The eyeball? The tattooed eyeball?
Oh, gross. Read it.
How about the fish? How about the fish they gave an eyeball to?
I saw that, too. I did not even get into that. Like, they can give
a fish
an eyeball.
So he wouldn't get bullied by his father friends because he only had one eye.
It's one-eyed fish. I mean, that's some taxpayers' dollars. All right, go ahead. Please, read the story. Chris, this is life is like science fiction. As far as I'm concerned. All right, go ahead.
Man hospitalized after tattooing his eyeball black. Watch how the procedure is done. American rapper Mace gained attention worldwide when he tattooed his eye black, but was later hospitalized.
Tattooed his eye black.
I want to see what it looks like.
Yeah, there's a photo right there of him looking like a demon.
Both eyes?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh. All right, please keep going with the story. Keep reading. She'll find out.
Mace from Brooklyn, New York, was rushed to the hospital after having his eye tattooed black, suffering complications from the procedure in his right eye.
The procedure.
In contrast to skin tattoos, which require hours of needling and dyeing the skin, the eye can be tattooed simply by piercing the sclera, which then spreads instantly through the eye like a black cloud. Mace has then claimed to have had a full recovery and has continued his music career, though there are fears that others undergoing the procedure at tattoo parlors could lose their sight.
What the blazes? Is it me? Now I'm feeling old, okay? All right, keep going. Now I officially feel, all right, like, yes, I'm, go ahead, please.
It's not all the rage, is it? Young person.
Keep going there.
I don't know anybody doing it.
Thank goodness. Please finish the story.
Despite being referred to by artists such as Mace as being a tattoo, the process is far more akin to a medical procedure, and the accuracy with which it must be carried out leaves it best in the hands of a medical professional. Despite potential complications from eye scleral tattooing, the procedure itself is relatively painless. There are no nerve endings in this part of the eye.
So, in other words, they say, if you're going to get a needle stuck in your eye, better to go to the hospital as opposed to the tattoo parlor. They're just saying. So, is that the final word?
Are there contact lenses that have the same effect?
At the very least.
Because it's kind of cool looking.
Really? Black eyes? Yeah. Like, you meet a guy, okay, online, right? And he shows up at the date with black eyes.
I'm not saying I want to date someone who looks like that.
Let me ask you,
Mystery
Guest,
like
if
that.
There's a cute guy with black eyes walking around on campus, you date him?
I hope it's contacts.
No, he's got the tattoo.
He went full tattoo.
He's black eyed.
That's a bit much.
I wouldn't be able to feel as bad for him for going blind as someone who actually lost their sight.
No, but he's not blind. He can see. He's a lucky guy. He worked. He's got black eyes now. Like, you can sit in the dark with him. Like, how could you let... All right, I'm sorry. I'm just asking.
I don't even know. I wasn't put in that situation. I wouldn't really know how to answer that.
I don't think you would find that cute.
You don't think that... Would it turn you off, or would you be curious?
I don't know. I'd have to see it before giving you a straight answer.
Look at the photo.
I'd have to see it in life. Yes. I'd have to see somebody with black eyes walking up to me, talking to me, having a conversation with me before I can give you a final answer.
Wow, you're that on the fence about it. That's amazing. Like, you know.
She's open-minded.
I'd be like, that is right out.
She's open-minded.
Yes, all right.
It sounds like Blade Runner. I got to see you first.
That's why I think it's neat, because it looks like something from Blade Runner.
So
I would think the person was disturbed. No, I don't. It would be like neat.
You're at a bar, right? He's got sunglasses on. And then you go inside, and he takes the sunglasses off.
I just wouldn't know what to say.
Black eyes.
I probably wouldn't say anything.
Do you let him continue to buy you drinks?
I maybe get a drink and then somehow make an excuse to leave.
Yeah.
Thank you for the drinks.
Like,
bye.
To, really to make an excuse you. To escape with your soul.
Right, right. It's pretty scary.
Yes, but it is. Like, what the hell?
Kind of wild.
I can tell you unequivocally.
You know, like you walk around
New York.
If there's
a girl with black eyes, you know, I'm not going to hit on her. But it's, what?
He's Brooklyn, right? Like, it's New
he's
York,
Brooklyn?
And
who's
you
Brooklyn?
See
who?
The guy who did it.
Okay, yeah, right? Yeah. Of course he's...
Like, when you walk around Times Square and you see that guy who's got the cat sitting on his head, you know what I mean? It's like you expect to see things like this in New York, and you're delighted when you see it. You don't want to date the guy with the cat on his head.
Okay, I was going to ask you.
You want to date the guy with the black eyes, but they're a spectacle. And
but they could buy you a drink.
Come on, we enjoy a spectacle in New York.
All right.
So and then they could buy you a drink.
They could buy you a drink. Okay.
That's as far
you'd
as
let a guy with a cat on his head buy you a drink.
Yeah.
There's a great picture of Jennifer on night shift here. That's really cool.
Yes, there's a picture of Jennifer on night shift. Yes, from your earlier appearances.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Where
back in the...
It's you're not you weren't able to get online there?
No, but I have all my phones.
So oh, on his phone. Thank you.
Oh, can I see it?
Oh no, you don't have to give me a
bit. Are you on the you're on the Life is Like Science Fiction page there, Chris?
Yeah.
Okay. Mystery guest?
Yes.
Are you still with us?
Yes.
Pastor Megan, because she sounds very articulate tonight.
Yes. Coherent. Almost.
No, articulate. She's very articulate tonight. She's very like She's speaking a lot, you know. Anyway.
All right, well, we've been getting a bunch of people calling throughout this whole time. Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, tell the host to Google black-eyed children, and if you need additional references, take a look at Coast to Coast. This is kind of like a confusion agent, and the black-eyed children are really a danger. That's all I wanted to comment on. Just
the black-eyed children are a danger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right.
Are they triangulating your position, sir? Are they triangulating your position right now?
I see a horror movie.
The black-eyed children.
I see a screenplay coming out of this.
The NSA is triangulating everything.
The black-eyed children cannot be trusted.
No, God.
Listen, there have been reports where they have shown up.
The black-eyed children have just shown up?
Yeah, they kind of show up at a person's door, like out in the midst.
What?
That's so spooky.
The black-eyed really? Children showing up at
and
the
door. And they say things like...
like trick or treat.
Food?
What?
Is it time for food?
Is it time for food?
Yeah,
that's pretty scary. I like that.
This is so
the black-eyed children show up at your door.
Is it time for food? This is a great movie. I'm loving this movie.
Go ahead, sir.
For the host,
sounds like a music video.
The thing that might perturb you a little bit is a lot of people relate the idea that after these kids have left or they haven't let them in, they have had an energy change. A lot of things have happened negatively to them.
So once you're visited by a black-eyed child, your whole situation is not good.
I am not answering the door.
Exactly. That's the poster. That's in the poster. Wait.
Don't answer the door.
Exactly.
The black-eyed
children. Don't answer the door.
So let's go to your scenario that you're in a bar. The guy's wearing the sunglasses.
Yes.
And then he takes them off.
Right.
And he's a black-eyed person.
Exactly.
And
he's surrounded by children. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
Surrounded by children.
All right.
Yes.
Have a great night.
Thank you.
Have a great night.
Thank you. I love it. The black-eyed children don't answer the door.
I can't wait to see this movie.
I'm with it. Can you hear me?
We got more callers.
What's the phone number?
212-209-2950.
Say that again. I didn't hear you.
212-209-2950.
Okay. Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Have any black-eyed children ever come to your door?
I'm with them now.
You're with them now.
Black-eyed children.
It's like feeding them?
There's a room full of them just sitting there. They're staring at
That's
him.
That's so spooky. It's such a spooky image. I love it.
Is it time for food?
I gotta make this movie.
Yeah, she's right on. That's
Is
like,
it time
know,
for food?
You know, they just start showing up.
Don't answer the door.
What do they like to eat?
That's the scary part. That's the scary part. You see one person yelling at the other, well, what do they want? What do they like to eat?
Donuts, or is it vegan?
And
like
she's
what?
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Why did you answer the door?
What's that?
What?
Oh, they cry black tears.
The what?
He said they cry black tears.
They cry black tears.
I love this.
Yes.
You basically just wrote the movie.
And you don't want to make them cry.
I need to see it.
Exactly.
You don't want to make them.
It's like when they cry black tears, then all hell breaks loose.
I think this movie's better than the one we saw today.
Stop. Black-eyed children. So, yeah. I'm Chris, you'd see it, right?
Oh, man, I'd write the script.
Exactly.
You know, it starts out in some town in upstate New York, you know, where...
Exactly. It's like somebody's having a party, and they just open the door, and
They aired the original Invasion of the Body Snatchers, you know, the old one where the guy's screaming down the street, they're coming! I'm trying to warn everybody. They're here now.
No, I got a better idea for the opening where the first child appears. It's like a party, right? In some nice neighborhood, a kids' party, and so kids are just showing up. And so they just open the door. They don't even look at the kid. They just let him in. And then he's out near the pool, and they're like, "Who's that kid?" And the kids are starting to get scared, and he's like, "Is it time for food?" You know. Cut
no,
to.
What would be interesting is somehow you put a Halloween connotation in there, so it's
no. You cut to it's Sculler, Scully, and what's her name from X Files. No. So there it is. It's a new X Files movie. Black-eyed children. So I'm with it. All right. So you have another story there, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
The ketchup lady.
No, wait. Then you must have it, Mr. Guess.
Which one?
Yes.
No, I'm not reading.
Yes, read
it
that. They got the photo. That's a great
That's
story.
That's upsetting
would
to
like
her.
To, would you like to read this one?
All right, you want to read that one? It's too upsetting?
Yes.
Right, yes.
Is it the one? Picture?
No.
Poor little guy.
Let her have it.
Well, he's the Phineas Gage of cats.
Okay. There you go.
The guy that actually happened once in like the 1800s or something.
What?
Cat survives being shot through the head with arrow.
Wow.
Riverview, Florida. Of course it's Florida. A Florida woman said her family's cat is recovering after she was found in a neighbor's yard with an arrow through her head.
Damn.
Tyra Bullock, 40, of Riverview, said her family's cat, Akila, got out of the house Tuesday, and after several hours of searching, the family found the missing feline in a neighbor's yard with the top of her head pierced by an arrow. Bullock took Akila to the Animal Coalition of Tampa, where veterans conducted an emergency surgery to remove the 7-inch arrow. The operation lasted 45 minutes, and the 6.5-year-old white calico sphinx was declared well enough to go home. I've seen some terrible things in all my years working rescue, but not like this. This is probably one of the worst, Animal Coalition of Tampa spokeswoman told Sky News. The arrow was turned over to the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Office, which said the item will be tested for fingerprints and DNA to identify the arrow shooter. But the point is, he lived. He's okay. And do you remember Phineas Gage? That was very important to psychology. A man who was, I don't know, working on the railroads or whatever, and some spike shot up and went right through his brain. And just like he was walking around with a spike sticking out of his head. And it kind of changed his personality a little, but he lived.
Yeah, it would change my personality to have a spike sticking out of
my head. He was no longer, like, calm and collected. He swore a lot.
I'd be sweared, too. I'd be like...
Phineas Gage, look him up. On one of your Google machines. He was a real person.
One of your Google machines.
Yeah,
you're sounding
up.
Very Luddite there. Look it up on one of your Google machines.
I read it in a book, not online, but I'm sure it's online as well.
I understand.
Every psychology student learns about Phineas Gage.
So, Mr. Guest, you have a story. This is a good story. Tilt your mic up.
Wait a second, Mike. There's a thing the fake thing that you put up about somebody with a paper airplane.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing.
That's the most amazing video.
It's amazing.
You got to go to the Night Shift Facebook page. You got to see this video.
NITESHIFT.
You've got to see this thing. This guy has this big paper airplane. He just like runs and throws it in the air, and it's still flying. It's been flying for 10 minutes.
No, you didn't even see the best part. We didn't get to the end. Okay, go ahead, Mr. Guest.
A full-size boa constrictor slithered out of a toilet at a public relations room in Southern California last week.
What?
Oh, my God.
According to a press conference from the company, when Stephanie Laska, co-founder for Vertical PR and Marketing, noticed a higher-than-usual water level in one of the San Diego office building toilets last Wednesday, she went to work with the plunger. Something then began to emerge from the toilet drain. I thought my eyes
Something
were deceiving
began
me.
Something to emerge.
Everybody's nightmare.
That is like.
This is. Just,
that's another sci-fi channel movie. Go ahead.
I thought my eyes were deceiving me, Laska said, according to a statement from the firm published on San Diego Animals Control Facebook page. But as soon as I saw the flicker of its tongue, I definitely knew that it was in fact
flicker of its
a large
tongue.
Snake heading straight towards me.
Wow.
At least she wasn't sitting down.
That's a Sam Raimi movie. Go ahead.
Damn.
Go ahead.
The snake was a Colombian rainbow boa, a non-venomous constrictor native to South America. At 5 feet long, the boa was at average full-grown length.
5 feet long. go ahead, please.
Bring back the bedpan. I'm done with toilets.
Laska said she shrieked and ran from the bathroom, taping up the door until animal control arrived and captured the snake.
Now, now to me, if I were that woman, I'd have like bathroom trauma, I'd go in a bucket for the rest of my life because I could never go in a bathroom.
Yes. just hearing this story is traumatic.
It is. Chris, has that ever happened to you?
I go in a bucket all the time.
Exactly. You're a victim of bathroom trauma.
I just dig a hole in the ground outside. That's what I do. I dig a hole and put a little cover over it.
What'd you say, Lance?
Like, hey, you ever woke up and just see a boa?
Woke up and just saw a boa. It's bad enough.
I'm still freaking out about the black-eyed kids, man.
The black-eyed children.
I'm telling you, it's freaking me out. Like, I'm starting to see them everywhere.
Well, there's... It's coming to
I mean,
a theater near you.
This is just like an irrational phobia, and now I cannot believe there's proof that it happens.
is that a pre-existing irrational phobia?
Once in a while, doesn't it cross your mind that something like that
no,
could happen?
Never.
Never?
Not even.
You're probably a lot healthier than I am.
No, not even. No. And so.
Well, it could happen.
But,
guess
but
what?
So for you, this has been a.
It does cross my mind every so often. But she's really lucky she wasn't sitting down when it happened.
That's true.
Kind of we got to look on the bright side. That's too funny. I think that's my favorite story tonight.
Well, the boa constrictor. Now, you have another good one there, Mr. Guest.
Do I?
No, you did that one.
Yeah. What other story do you have, Jennifer?
Did you do the flamingos?
It's because of old pipes and stubborn plumbing. The building was born in 1886. No, that the flamingos.
Yes, you ready?
Flamingo die-offs. The lakes of Kenya's Rift Valley boast spectacular pink aggregations of lesser and greater flamingos. Over the last 20 years, these populations have suffered a series of unexplained mass mortality events, during which hundreds of thousands of birds die over a period of just a few months. Not only is this a distressing sight to witness, it is also a serious concern for conservationists. Suggested causes for the die-offs range from infectious diseases such as avian tuberculosis and avian cholera to poisoning by cyanobacterial toxins, insecticides.
Did you say avian cholera?
Cholera.
Yeah, yes, go ahead.
Insecticides or heavy metals. This variety of potential causes means that over the years, studies have been undertaken by researchers from many different disciplines, each using different approaches. A little.
Oh, you know, I forgot how much fun this is.
Wow. I don't even know what I can say there. Wow, this is amazing. Like, I haven't been able to hear what I'm doing for, like, the last 20 minutes.
That's surprising. If you didn't use headphones all the time, you'd be so much better off.
I know, I do. I had the headphones plugged in, and for some reason, something's up with
you're hearing, Mike. This is what happens, then you wind up with black eyes.
Then I have black eyes, exactly. I can't hear anything, and I have black eyes. And Jennifer won't let me borrow a drink. What?
Can I tell you what my favorite thing in life to do is to type in the word Mike Sargent and look up images?
Lord. I don't know what that says about you.
There's this. Mike, that's why I'm laughing so hard, because you got to do it, because on the third page now, there's a picture of some white gentleman with long hair that's completely naked except for, like, some shorts.
That sounds about right. Star,
and his name is Mike Sargent.
Yeah, it's Mike Sargent. Village idiot.
The other Mike Sargent.
No, there are a lot of Mike Sargents out there. There are.
Well, somebody has my name. They're a sex offender in Florida. I wasn't happy about that.
I understand.
And she's better looking than me, too.
Well, see, that's a good thing. See, Mr. Guest, you have a unique
name. Better looking. I doubt that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's sweet.
You don't have people out there running around committing felonies in your name.
Oh, that's right. But we won't say her
name. Happened to Keith. Keith, there was something like they arrested him. Like, because there was another Keith Brown with warrants on him.
What?
Yes.
They arrested him?
Yes, he did. Got arrested for
when
this other...
Now,
this is a few years back. For another Keith Brown that had, like, all kinds of warrants on him. And, I mean, he was able to prove it, but he had to spend some time in
jail?
Yeah, that's right. You know.
Never told
I don't
me
know
that.
If he. I don't know if he. You know, more. Maybe not more than a few hours, but yeah, they didn't believe him.
Wow. So you had the right idea. You got to name your kid something unique. And I say this as a girl named Jennifer. I mean, it is really a terrible thing to give your kid a.
That could be your blog title.
What would you name your
girl
kid?
Named Jennifer.
Something more original than that. I mean, you get almost a little paranoid because there's like three in every class, and then are you calling on me or one of the other five Jennifers?
How about being named Mike? Okay.
Let me just tell you. Yeah, top most.
Right? How about that?
Yeah, you're okay. Right. Well, you've turned out very
unique. I used to hang out
unique.
With three other guys named Mike. We were all like, we had to call each other by each other's last names.
Wow.
You know, the Mikes.
That's right.
People thought we were like a singing group.
So you would call your kid. You would call your kid what? Cleophas or something?
Cleophas, yeah. Cleophas.
Is that a name you just made up on the spot?
No, Cleophas is
That's a
name.
Real name?
Cleophas.
Yes.
That's Cleophas. I really like
Cleophas is a buyer.
That is funny.
Cleophas.
No, you don't name your son Cleophas.
Like, just the name makes me laugh.
I'm just saying, not in America, not in America.
See if it's still funny tomorrow.
In the Caribbean, Cleophas is okay.
Cleophas Sargent.
But up here, you know, he's going to be ridiculed.
I like it.
May as well name your child Doofus, you know, because people are just,
what would be a good girlfriend that somebody else would have? I mean, what would be what would you call your kid? I mean, that's like a question.
I might name a child after a name that I liked from a character or from a book or a movie.
Or maybe a TV show, even.
Maybe a TV show. What, you know, maybe a movie from a
Let's
TV show.
Let's not give anything
away. Yeah, maybe a character from a series on TV.
Maybe.
Like a science fiction character name.
All right, well, I have a story. Mr. Guest, you're going to want to wake up for this one. Mr. Guest, you ready? You ready for this? This is the best story of the century. okay? I say this and can speak now on it. Okay, this woman, okay, her name is Regine Grease. Okay, putting bed bugs to bed for...
Oh, not again,
for,
no.
For, listen to me, forever.
England. Oh,
listen
oh,
to me, man. Listen to me. Putting bed bugs to bed forever. The world owes a debt of gratitude to Simon Fraser University biologist Regine Grease. Her arms have provided the blood meal for more than 1,000 bedbugs each week for 5 years, while she and her husband, biology professor Gerhard Grease searched for a way to conquer the global bedbug epidemic. Working with the SFU chemist Robert Britton and a team of students, they have finally found the solution. A set of chemical attractants, or pheromones, that lure the bedbugs into the traps and keep them there. This month, after a series of successful trials in bedbug-infested apartments in Metro Vancouver, they published their research. Bedbug aggregation pheromone finally identified.
Finally.
They're working with the Victoria-based Contact Enterprises to develop the first effective and affordable bait and trap for detecting and monitoring bedbug infestations. They expect it to be commercially available next year. This came out, this story is from December 24th, 2014. I didn't get to cover it before. It's a solution the world has been waiting for. Over the last 2 decades, common bedbug, once thought to be eradicated in industrial countries, has reappeared as a global scourge.
Mm-hmm.
Let that sink in. These nasty insects are not just infesting not just low-income housing, but also expensive hotels, apartments, public venues such as stores, movie theaters, libraries, even public transit. And while these blood-sucking pests were previously not considered a carrier of disease, scientists have recently discovered they can transmit the pathogen that causes Chagas disease.
Oh, not Chagas.
That's right. That? It's prevalent in Central and South America, yet Chagas. Until now, tools for detecting and monitoring these pests have been expensive and technologically challenging.
What are the symptoms?
To use.
Chagas.
What is that?
I'm looking for the Chagas. I'm looking for the Chagas. All right, Lance, you need to look up the Chagas. C-H-A-G-A-S. And then we'll have that. The Grease and their students initially found the pheromone blend that attracted bedbugs in a lab experiment, but not in bug-infested apartments. We realized that highly unusual component must be missing. Ones we couldn't put, finding user aggress. Now, and now.
Oh, Chagas.
Fiber, she had found, that's right.
Oh, parasite disease.
Ooh. Oh, God.
She's feeding, she fed the bed bugs her blood for 5 years.
Oh, heart failure.
5 years.
Enlarged esophagus.
That's worse than a snake in the toilet.
That's
enlarged colon. It talks all about, like, so you have a big throat and a big enlarged colon. Oh.
What are you talking about? What is she?
Chagas.
Oh, Chagas. Yes.
Oh,
all right. What does it say? Or read something, Chris. What does it say about Chagas?
Cleavis has Chagas.
Poor Cleavis. He's not even born.
Cleavis got Chagas.
Before he's even born. Oh, Cleavis, I'm sorry. All right. Anyway, so, Chris, are you going to tell us what Chagas is?
Did you pull it up? They have pictures of the Chagas. So they have a picture of the bug that walks
picture
around.
Picture of the Chagas. All right, wait. I'm going to let Lance read what the Chagas is.
Yeah.
Well, the general definition of Chagas is a disease, is an inflammatory... Oh, excuse me. Sorry. Now I'm all over the place. Okay. It's an inflammatory infectious disease caused by a parasite found in the feces of the trichotillomanine bug. Example, bed bugs. It's common in it's mostly common in South America, Central America, and Mexico. The primary home of what we would call bear bugs. Rare case.
Primary home? Is this the motherland of bed bugs?
Apparently so.
Where they came from?
Apparently, yes.
And the country's still standing?
Still standing. We got all three, including Mexico. Go figure. Okay. Chagas disease can affect anyone, but it's diagnosed most often in children.
Oh!
Well, we're all safe.
Yeah.
Yes. left untreated, Chagas disease later could cause serious heart and digestive problems.
This is terrible.
So Chris hit the nail on the head with this one.
Yeah, look, you know what's even, what I'm reading, it was named after, who was it named after? It's named after Carlos Chagas.
Well, there it is. That does make sense.
That's the guy who found
discovered it. This is horrifying. But listen, the good news is they found a way to attract and trap him and kill those Chagas carrying vermin. So
these people are going to be very rich.
But you know what the deal will be? The deal will be that. Just like, you know, and having gone through it and had the whole experience.
Having Chagas?
No, not Chagas, just the bed bugs. There are certain things that...
Well, you had bed bugs?
Yes, I did.
You're coming out publicly.
I'm coming out publicly. What? I'm coming out publicly.
You had bed bugs and you wanted me to stay over your house?
Oh,
I have
please.
That's
is,
crazy.
Listen, fool. I had to go through quite a bit to have them eradicated. Let me just say that.
Are you sure you got rid of them?
Oh, this has happened a long time ago now, son.
All right.
Okay. So anyway, the point I'm making is having.
Did Chagas get it? The kid?
No, there was Chagas? No. It's, yeah, Chagas.
Be tested for Chagas?
Yes. I've not been tested for Chagas. Anyway, you people. The point I'm making is that there are certain things that can help, but you can't buy them. Like an individual can't buy them. Only a licensed, pesticide specialist can.
Like
can,
Roscoe.
Like who?
Roscoe's the bed bug dog.
Is he?
He sniffs out the bed bugs and he's the mascot of some bed bug service. They actually use him to smell bed bugs.
Okay, all right. Well, they bring out Roscoe. Hey. That's
Roscoe.
I don't even want to touch that.
Now I'm the one plugging products.
I don't even want to touch. That's right. Stealth, is that your stealth advertising? All right, so let's forget that. Listen, now there's going to be the...
That's a good name for a kid. Roscoe. Maybe you'll call a kid Roscoe.
That sounds like a dog, though. It does. I picture the dog. Anyway, so the Bed Bug Hotel is going to be coming out. Bed Bugs go in, check in, but they don't check
in. How long did you have bed bugs, and when did you figure out that you had them?
It was a whole long process that I don't want to really go into, but it turned out that the people above me had them. And it spread.
Was it some girl that you met online or something?
Some black-eyed girl came over and brought bed bugs. Let me tell you something. It is a hell. It is a hell. Like, yes, if that had happened, it would be like, wow, I laid with a demon, you know. But no, it was not. It was because it is a hell. I got to tell you, it is a hell.
It's a hell. Like, what happened?
You have to get all every piece of clothing and in your you have to send it out and have it cleaned in a very special way. You have to move all of your furniture away from all. You have to get everything has to be treated and then retreated. And you know, I had them come like six times. You know, I mean,
that's a fortune.
I didn't pay for it. The landlord paid for it.
Okay.
Because it's his building. You know, I didn't bring bed bugs up in there. Anyway, so it was a whole painful process. And you can't have anybody over for months, you know, because, you know, what are you going to do, you know? So it was...
When did this happen? Because you've always invited me over. So somehow you had a bed bug thing going on.
I was trying to bring him. I wanted you to be,
I
wanted to affect you with the demon.
Jennifer, have you ever gone over there? Does he still have bed bugs?
I was just over there, so now I'm a little worried.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I'm telling you the story because
I think you're very brave to come out like this.
I'm
I think you're brave.
I couldn't tell. You can't tell when it was happening. You can't tell anybody. It's like,
but now that it's over, you can.
Yeah, because you know, and believe me.
But you don't still like look.
I read voraciously. I know. I was up to date on everything with bed bugs and everything. Everything you want to know. Everything. You know, but it doesn't matter. You know, you still got to have these people come over and it's still going to cost you money.
But you didn't meet Roscoe.
I didn't meet Roscoe.
Wow.
But it's a horrifying thing. It's horrifying.
Wow.
Because, you know.
What haven't you had in your apartment? Obviously, you've had the
He's
black
got albino
eyes.
Frogs.
Albino frogs?
I had two underwater albino frogs, but I don't have them anymore.
Then why do I have to tell you to...
Because I have what's regular underwater frogs.
Oh, you've got
frogs.
Regular ones now?
Yeah.
God.
They're also African underwater frogs, but they're not albino. The albino were kind of scary looking, I admit.
Because I know you had ants. I know you had squirrels, weasels. I know you had all kinds of
frogs. And frogs. Don't forget the frogs.
And frogs.
And
you had measles.
It was raining frogs in my apartment. I didn't know what to do.
And you live on the 10th floor. How the hell did the weasel get all the way up to the 10th floor? I don't get that. I don't understand.
I thought you lived on the 2nd floor.
Hey, this is just Chris's fantasy about my life. So you just...
I look at the pictures. I typed in Mike Starks. It's pictures of you. There's like pictures of all kinds of things.
On my 10th floor balcony.
Yeah, the 10th floor. Looking
surveying
down.
Surveying like the city. Arms folded. Yes.
Wait,
I remember that photo shoot.
Black-eyed children. It's awful, Mike. It's awful. The ants were the funniest thing. Like the ants in your house. That was.
Hello, you're on the air. Hello.
It's a black-eyed child.
Okay. Hello. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
What happened to your albino frogs?
Well, you know, they have a lifespan. I mean, I had them for years. But one, you know, it's a sad story, actually. There was a time I went away, you know, and when you
you went away and they died.
Can I tell you my story? Do you want to know my story? You want to know what happened, okay. There was a time when I went away and I don't know, something happened and the whole tank just
you forgot
like,
about them.
No, I didn't forget about
the water,
you mean,
the water dried
listen,
up
when you yeah, right. You know, you leave the 5-day or 7-day feeder.
Didn't have a frog sitter?
I had no frog sitter, no. But anyway, point I'm making is at one point once I had bought them together. There were three of them originally, but only two of them lived. And they got big. They got big like you know, like a small woman's fist. Okay, that they got pretty big, and they were very aggressive. You know, like about food. When the food comes, they're like jumping up. And so aggressive that once when I was changing water the old way with a pail, like they jumped out. And I had to, like, chase him around my apartment. And one I didn't find for, like, 40 minutes. And then finally found it.
Dust-covered
frog. He recovered fine and everything. But then one day, like I said, I went out of town and
came back, and
one of the frogs had died. And let me tell you, the other frog, he was depressed for weeks.
Eileen.
He wouldn't eat. I'd put food in, and he'd just be, like, sitting there, like, thinking about his buddy,
oh,
I guess. Because they would lay on top of each other and everything. They were just...
Frog and Toad. Remember those books?
Yeah, they was definitely...
Frog and Toad are friends.
He was always a very aggressive frog.
Frog and Frog are friends.
So Froggy and Froggy.
What do you mean? They were gay.
Even though they gross
I'm
me
not
out,
I'm not saying they were gay.
Story.
Who knows if they were gay? I was gay.
What? You had gay albino frogs.
Exactly.
Awesome.
I'm on it. I'm a cutting edge. What?
Basically, the frogs croaked.
One of the frogs croaked.
I didn't think about frogs grieving. I mean, I didn't know that they did that.
I had no idea. It was I was surprised. I was like, wow. For weeks, we would just sit in the. I turn the light on because usually when I turn the light on in the fish tank, the fish go crazy. They're like, we're gonna eat now. You know, and
it you think was, he missed his friend, or it's I like, think, or it is a narcissistic reaction we all have when someone dies. You're like, shit, am I next?
Did you write into a thing here? Because it says here, I have three albino frogs. How do I tell between the male and female?
There it is.
That's what it says right here. And it says that there's homosexual positions for the frogs.
Well, I don't know what site you're trolling there, son, but...
I'm reading it right now. It says,
I believe that you're reading it right now.
Martin, if you wrote this to somebody in 2008...
Yeah, this, you know, okay. N.M. Sargent, that even really narrows it down.
You know, if you go to RedTube, they have a category for gay frog porn.
Gay frog porn. And gay frog porn stars.
You know, you were reading that article about the cat with the aerosol head.
Yes.
And it got taken care of by the veterans. I have to make a correction. They're not veterans. They're veterinarians.
Yeah.
That means they don't eat meat.
I understand. Veterans.
What did you feed these things, Mike? What did you feed them?
Uh, Well, you know, you can, first of all, they, you know, they eat anything, okay? And, you know, you give them some of the frozen food. They like that. But sometimes you buy the guppies. I would buy, like, 50 guppies. I still do that, you know, these little guppies. And they will, you know, within a matter of a couple of days, those guppies are all gone between the two of them.
So you're a mass murderer of guppies.
No, they just the guppies, you know. I bought some small goldfish, you know, to give him a treat. And one goldfish, like, lived. He was like, yeah, I'm living. And he got big, you know. He's like, I lived, you know. You know
what happens is, like, you'll get different things, and then sometimes they survive.
Yeah, exactly. Some, a brave one will survive. Yes.
Yeah.
Listen, well, when they must live in terror.
Well, listen, the thing about the frogs, though, is that if, you know, when I... When I first, when the two frogs died, I bought a couple new ones, you know. And when you get them, they're like the size of, like, your pinky, the tip of your pinky, literally. And then they grow, like I said, to be like a, you know, like a baby fist. And then I bought, like, three. Like, two of them got eaten. Like, but there was one who was fat. Well, yeah, but the bigger one,
oh,
he'll eat little ones. It's like his food, whatever. He'll just eat it.
Mm.
They'll eat. So,
the frogs will eat each other?
Yes, like, a little bit. They'll eat the baby frogs.
And some will be best friends. You don't know
The fast one lived and got big.
The fast one.
He lived and got big. So, the two, like,
is
the first guy.
Is he the one that grieved?
No. Those are both gone. They're both gone. I have just two, like I said, just regular.
What did you call them? Bert and Ernie? What were the name of your gay...
Cleavis.
What were the name of my gay frogs? No, first of all, I never named them. You know, they were just...
You didn't name them like Cyphus or Cephas or Cleavis or Clyphus?
Longinus.
Cleavis.
Exactly. Hello, Pinky. I named it Pinky. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Yes, you made the point, Mr. Sargent, that the exterminators try to monopolize the remedies, right?
Yeah, well, they do.
Well, Dick, this is really something to share because it's such a miracle. There must be a number of ways to skin a cat, right?
Of course.
Number of ways to kill bed bugs. Bed bugs.
Yes.
You know, red Texas cedar oil, have you heard about it?
No.
If you buy $100 online of a whole gallon, you can get rid of all of them.
Well, listen.
They can't
breathe. Thank God I don't have them anymore. Those
people. But it works so great. Red Texas cedar oil, you spray it, and it works for your insect. You spray it on your skin, and you go out, and the bugs won't bite you.
Oh, listen.
Any kind of bugs.
I don't want to. I got into all this oil.
Yeah, give me some Texas oil.
Red Texas cedar oil.
I had some kind of concoction of alcohol and something or the other. I had to spray it myself. It was just a nightmare. It was literally
natural,
nightmare.
Natural, organic.
Literally.
It's the cedar oil from the tree, and the bugs can't breathe. Their little lungs collapse because the fumes from the oils are so strong.
I appreciate you sharing
that. It's the best stuff. Red Texas cedar oil called Cedar Side. It works like a charm.
Okay. All right.
Thanks.
Thank you. You're welcome.
It is, Mike. You see that?
Yes,
no,
people.
You know, obviously you reach out. Now you know how to get rid of the bed bugs.
Listen, I don't have them. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I said, but I went through it, and then it was a whole process, and they keep coming
back.
Well,
I want to know what happened with the albino frog that split. So one of them got out of your house and made it down to
where? Yeah, he made it to Broadway. No, you know, he like I said, one died while I was away, and then the other one, you know, later on, you know, he lived like another year or two. And then, you know.
Why didn't you get him a friend? Why didn't you get him
I did. I got him a friend. Like I said, I bought some little friends. He ate two of them, and then one was faster. And then the fast one grew up. The fast one grew up, and then I bought some other ones, and I bought two more, and the fast one ate one of the other ones, but the other one was fast, so now they're together, and they're friends. And, you know, they're like the Hunger Games. In my tank, they survived.
So you have two albino frogs left?
No, they're not albino. I just have two underwater frogs. I only had the albinos in the beginning, and then I went just to...
That's the depressed ones, the albinos?
The albinos.
So in other words, I should just... All the frogs I see outside, I should just start getting them for you?
Well, no. I used to collect frogs when I was a kid, though.
No, dude, no. There's like hundreds of frogs. Like, I see them all the time. They all hang out.
Just leave them be.
That's what I do. You know what I do is I get them, I talk to them for a while, and then I let them go. Like, I hang out with them.
You seem to listen to Sponsored
Radio.
You know
what, Mike? Right. You can have a great conversation with Rob.
WBAI.
He's ignoring me. Don't ignore me, Mike.
That was the kind of world we'd made.
Wow, that's a great line. Yep.
What'd you say? What'd you say?
I'm so glad. I didn't know. I'm going to start saving the frogs because it says here frogs are not picky eaters. They'll eat anything. They'll eat, like...
Well, first of all, the frogs...
They won't eat ham.
Frogs dying is one of the scariest things about our whole environmental breakdown because they're like the canary in the...
Although, according to that article that I read, their numbers are stabilizing. And then it's the birds that are in trouble now, apparently.
And you heard about the flamingos and the, what I was covering here.
I fear for the world as we're going ahead. It's really scary.
Yep.
The amount of, everything. Like as Mike always said, water will become
all right, did I read about the mass duck die-offs in Cape Cod?
Yeah, but we've been hearing about birds dying. That's the theme.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you this. Hold on, I'm going to switch there. Okay. Now, and this is, again, this is from, December. says, virus causing mass duck die-offs in Cape Cod identified. Since 1998, hundreds, sometimes thousands of dead eider ducks have been washed up every year in Cape Cod beaches in the late summer or early fall. But the reason behind these cyclic die-offs has remained a mystery. A team of scientists from Cornell, Tufts University, University of Georgia, and the U.S. Geological Survey and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have pinned down one of the agents responsible, a pathogen they're calling the Wellfleet Bay virus. That's WFBV. Their findings shed light on why eider ducks, also called the common eiders, die on Cape Cod every year and offer hints about the virus spreads. They call it the cyclic avian mass mortality in the northeastern United States is associated with a novel orthomyoxovirus. How's that? And basically it says that they've isolated the virus repeatedly over multiple years of outbreaks and in many birds. It tells us that the virus is definitely playing a contributing role and possibly a major role in the die-offs. This is how scientists talk. We're pretty sure, but we're not absolutely 100% sure. So, basically what they're saying is that identifying this WFBV is a major step forward in helping understand what the cause of these mortality events might be so we can develop a reasonable response if at all possible. So they've identified it, they have a name for it, but it's still happening. Any thoughts there, Jennifer?
I think it's a little depressing, and I think we need to be distracted with some penis talk.
Your penis talk. Okay. Mm-hmm. This is Chris's interest is
peaked. This is from the Huffington Post.
Okay.
Man with two penises tells all in new memoir.
Yeah. Chris, had you heard about this?
I think one penis is enough.
Okay. That's Chris's rebuttal book. Go ahead.
In early 2014, a man who said he had two functioning penises due to a rare congenital condition known as diphthalia came out in a Reddit Ask Me Anything. A year later, he's written an e-memoir. The man, who identifies as bisexual and goes by Diphalic Dude or Double Dick Dude, DDD, is using his memoir titled Double Header, My Life with Two Penises, to answer more questions, describe his struggles, and tell tales of many sexual encounters. I realize that there are still people who are genuinely curious, he told Rolling Stone, from girls who want to know how to handle their boyfriend being uncircumcised, as DDD is, to guys wanting to know if they're gay or bisexual because my equipment turns them on. What do you think?
I'm just Mr. Guest.
Really, it just stuns me almost a year later that people are still reaching out to me, he said.
Sorry, my head is like really killing me.
So I thought I should put a book together and use that to answer questions, but also to give voice to people who might feel lost in the cracks. Last year, DDD provided Redditors with everything from graphic images to the details of having sex with two penises. He now has a popular, very NSFW Twitter and Tumblr accounts.
NSFW?
Not suitable for you.
Oh.
I still have the same life and still do the same things, he said of his internet fame. I'm just now more aware that the guy or girl standing next to me at the grocery store might have seen my penises. That's the big difference. For more on him, read Rolling Stone's interview.
Wow. There it is. There it is.
Do you think he can't have been the only one in the history of the world?
That was the kind of world we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made. World we'd made.
All right, I'm sorry. I was getting carried away. Yes, basically. Yes.
Basically what, Mike? That he's probably the only one?
There could have been others.
Well,
if they've identified it and they actually have a name for it, that, you know, that's quantifiable, then I would say yes, there have been other cases. Those babies probably got thrown off of cliffs. That's my concern.
Back in the day.
Babies did get thrown off of cliffs. If you had a baby that was born with black eyes and two penises, you know. You wouldn't know what to do. What would you do? What do you do? Do you keep it? What do you do?
Right.
There it is. You know, there's certain songs like that stay in rotation for a while on night shift because the groove is so good. Kind of music they have where?
Kind of music you have going if you have two penises.
Exactly. Music for two penises. Music for dual genitalia. What's that?
That's why he was probably bisexual, so he could satisfy it.
Yeah, see, I'd say he was trisexual.
Do you think one of the penises is straight and one of the penises is gay?
I don't want to know. I don't really, you know, I probably won't read his book. I'm just, you know, just, I could probably.
I'll read it. I'll fill you in. How's that?
You can do that. And buy me a drink. And so, you have another story that I thought was somewhat fascinating. But what's the phone number here? Did you memorize it?
I don't.
Mr. Guest, can you help her with the phone number?
212-209-2950.
No. 2900.
2900.
Yes. All right. Did you get it this time, Jennifer?
No. Numbers and me aren't friends.
Chris, what's the phone number here?
212-209-2950. 209-2950 is not the number.
No, but don't say it again. Do not call. Well, you can just go, do not call this number, and then people call
it's
the number.
It's 212-209-2900. You can call and talk to us about anything that we talked about tonight. And you can talk about anything you want. Jeff is out there.
No, I don't want to talk about anything.
Dead birds and double penises.
No.
Yeah.
Frozen,
about albino frogs.
Frozen
how much
poop
you learned
poop.
About a frog, how Mike has bed bugs, how he eradicated them, two-liter oil.
You know, we had a last week, Jennifer. We had an alt definition for cosplay.
The clip? That was
some
funny stuff.
Well, it was your cosplays. Like, you go, you know, you go around doing your Bill Cosby impression. So there it is. I'm sorry. That was it. Cosplay. I mean, you could go dark on that if you wanted to.
You know what, Mike? You know what's interesting? He's done, man. I don't know. I mean, how can he recover from...
You know, because everything is not everything.
Well, they were protesting a concert, but then there was, like, a counter-protest.
Right.
Of course, because, you know, it's obvious that there's a bandwagon.
So, do you feel, let's just play it for the media, do you feel guilty?
I feel there's a bandwagon, you know. The extent or specifics of his guilt, I can only speculate. But
even if he didn't rape them, he shouldn't have been cheating on his wife. Church lady, okay? No, I'm not. But it's not nice.
There's nothing in anything that's been said that sounds nice. So, but that being said,
I can't believe he violated them with Jell-O pudding pops.
Well, there's stuff. There's the burden of proof.
That was a joke.
But, you know, that's a whole other conversation.
Yeah, I just feel that so many people have come out and kind of skate the edges. Well,
but after a lot of, you know, people come out and say the same thing the other person said, it's not that hard to make that happen. You know, we live in a pretty fame-obsessed culture, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, why wouldn't he at least be gone at this point?
Yeah, because there's nothing he could say. What could he say when he come out and go, wouldn't me? I mean, what's he going to come out and say? What could he come out and say that would do any good?
Well, people say that I'm going to sue. I'm going to, I didn't do this. The person, you know, making these allegations to me, and I...
It wouldn't help him. It wouldn't help him. First of all, it doesn't matter if you do that. Look at Michael Jackson. You know, to some people, he'll be forever
guilty.
Yeah,
but Michael Jackson was guilty.
See, there it is. See, as far
guilty!
As
you're,
you're
Let me tell you something. You know why I think Michael Jackson? I
see, but can I pause you here? Can I pause you here? Wait, can I just pause you?
You can turn him down
before you finish. I want you to finish. I just wanted to say that this is why I believe what you're about to launch into. This is why.
So
go ahead.
I don't know whether Michael Jackson feels here. I'm being joking. I'm making jokes. But here's the thing. I will say this. In that interview with Michael Jackson, he said something that freaked me out. If you really love somebody and you're 50 years old, it's okay to sleep with, if you really love them, it's okay to sleep with a 10-year-old or a 9-year-old or an 8-year-old. That, my friend, is way out there.
That's a little weird.
I think that is very questionable behavior to me. At whatever. I think it's questionable behavior if you're like 30 and older and you're going to sleep with somebody else's kid that's not your own kid. So I have issues with that. He said that. I heard that come out of his mouth. So that's what's suspicious to me as to whether or not those allegations could be, you know, true or false. And the other thing is, he had these little Pied Pipers, like these symbols of these, like, little boy Pied Pipers going into his private little thing. And that was kind of creepy to me, too. So those two things was enough for me to question whether or not what he, you know, said and did happened. I don't know. You know what I mean? So there it is. That's all I got to say. And I heard him say it. So, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, but that's how I feel about it.
Well,
so there it is.
Again,
that's my editorial for
you
today.
You have underscored my point.
What's your point?
My point is that no matter what is said, okay, even though the kid after Michael Jackson died came out and said, all right, his father put him up to the whole thing and he admitted that nothing happened, to some people he will always be guilty and they will cite all the reasons why, and it'll always come down to what they heard that made them uncomfortable, that made them feel that something's wrong. It's wrong, you know? And irregardless of, you know, Cosby's, you know, actual guilt, what acts did he commit, there's guilt. And there's, you know, as far as the people who find him guilty, he's just guilty and will be. Even if all of the women came out and said, all right, we were lying. If every one of the women came out and they said he were lying, people would go, he put him up to it. He paid him off. You know what I'm saying? It would never, there's no way that it's going to do any good. The damage is done. That's,
how do you think Hannibal Buress feels about all this?
I think he is surprised. That's what I think. But, you know, let's put it this way. Look at the power of comedy, you know. This person essentially made a joke that destroyed someone's career and legacy in terms of how it caught on. And, you know, what happened in France was done under the, you know, the guise of
humor. Right. I mean, look, freedom of speech. Right. No,
comedy is what I'm saying.
That's a good question. That's a whole show. What's open for debate? You know, when do you skew the line? At what point does somebody interpret, you know, comedy as being offensive to the point where we need to kill somebody?
Well, most comedy offends somebody.
Well, that's fundamentalists.
Yeah, it is.
They're no fun. They took the fun out of fundamentalists.
You know, whether or not Maria actually, you know, really did do something behind, you know, sabotaging Sony or whatever.
Nobody, everybody knows North Korea didn't do no damn sabotaging Sony. We're not living in a James Bond movie. This is reality.
Yeah, yes, we are.
No, listen, yes, Sony may own the rights to James Bond, but...
And the wind is crying.
The world is not a James Bond movie. So, you have your story, that woman... Please.
About more dirty stories?
Well, no. What about
the kids are asleep?
No, not that one.
Oh, the pregnant lady?
Yes, the pregnant lady.
Oh, okay.
This is and please, I bolded and italicized my favorite line from the whole article.
Should I read that part louder?
Well, no. When you get to it. When you get to it.
Read it louder.
Excuse me. I just want to say that I stopped watching Mad Men because something like this happened on the show and I just didn't believe it.
Okay.
Woman finds out she's pregnant, then gives birth to a 10-pound baby 1 hour later. This stuff happens.
Okay. Go ahead.
After being taken to hospital with back pains, Katie Kropos was more than a little surprised at her diagnosis. It was the shock of a lifetime for Katie when, after suffering from lower back pains, she was told by doctors that she was pregnant. But that wasn't all. Within 1 hour of discovering she was carrying a baby, the 23-year-old had given birth to a healthy 10-pound, 2-ounce baby girl. And that's a fat baby.
A fat baby. Ooh.
The new mom.
How many pounds? How many pounds? 20 pounds?
10 pounds.
10 pounds. That's a fat baby.
That's a fat baby.
Mike, you know what?
Yeah, keep going.
The new mom was taken to hospital on Tuesday after complaining of back problems, but was soon told that she was actually in labor. I came in with lower back pain on Tuesday morning, Katie told local news station. Later that night, they put me in for an ultrasound. They took one look and rushed me off to labor. And it was less than 1 hour later that Katie was holding her new baby girl in her arms. I found out that I was having a baby at 10:15 and she was born at 11:06. But the new mom maintains she had no idea she was pregnant. I started to feel like I put on some weight, but I'd been thinking maybe this was just Christmas.
That's the line. That's the line.
Christmas indeed.
Please read that line again.
I started to feel like I put on some weight, but then I'd been thinking, well, maybe this was just Christmas.
Wow. Damn, like Christmas is like a 10-pound baby. That's what, like.
Well, that's, Merry Christmas. Yeah. Look what Santa brought you.
Feast at Christmas in Little House.
Right, doctor at South Shore Hospital said most people will say, how could you not have known? But if you've never experienced it before, they, pregnant women, don't really know what they should be experiencing
or
feeling.
Okay, but what about, you know, didn't she miss her monthly cycle and go like, oh, it's been 8 months?
You know, Mike.
I know I don't. Hello, you're the air.
She was just feeling
hello, you're the air.
Relieved.
Hello, yeah, she was just relieved. Yes, hello. Who is this?
Yeah, you know, that story's a little hard to believe.
What do you mean hard to believe? It's true. What do you mean hard to believe?
See, that's why he's right. I stopped watching Mad Men. They had the exact same plot. That's ridiculous.
I have a personal friend who...
Right?
I have a personal friend who... walked around for 6-7 months pregnant, didn't tell anybody, and nobody even suspected.
This is a chubby
but
lady.
You're saying that she didn't know. The girl said that she didn't know. I can understand your friend knew and didn't tell anyone. That's understandable.
Yeah. No, the friend didn't know either.
Well, so what do you think is going on?
I have enough. Maybe she just, was she morbidly obese? I mean,
she's a big girl. The photo, listen,
your
you look it up.
Your friend is big girl.
We can put, my friend was a big girl, too. And the girl in this thing is
there's
big
no
girl.
Picture she's, of this girl.
Listen, if she thought a baby was Christmas.
That sounds incredible. You know, Mike, you make a good point as far as Michael Jackson and Bill Cosby and other, you know, it just doesn't matter what anyone says.
That's right.
For some reason, they said something to someone or someone and... they got themselves in deep crap, and they are no longer liked. And next thing you know, they can't get from under. Because just like you said, that kid admitted that his pops, who died, later on died.
Yeah.
He said that his pops put him up to the whole thing. But like your friend on the phone, he still think he did something.
Right.
Without any proof whatsoever.
Don't argue about it. Let's let him
know. Without any proof whatsoever.
Right.
Sight,
this is what I have an issue with.
That he did something.
This is what I have an issue with. I had an issue with
direct
the fact. This is what I had an issue with. I had an issue with, I heard him say that he thought it was okay to sleep.
You said this, Chris. Right.
We got that point.
I don't know what else he did.
It is an odd thing to say.
I had a problem with that.
It's called, look, it's called just because the guy, now I can tell you without proof, I can just say that I think Michael Jackson went through some stuff when he was a kid that a kid doesn't normally go through, but when you're in the entertainment business, it can get freaky. Mm-hmm. You know, particularly for a little kid, it can get freaky, and it affected him. Now, did he then do that to other kids? No, it's because the dude just had no childhood whatsoever, and he liked sleepovers. So he was an adult. Okay, he may have been weird, but that doesn't mean that he was touching kids.
Yeah, weird and eccentric.
Well, he was weird. Listen, he was weird, and he was in a position of power to be indulge in whatever weirdness, and nobody around him going, dude, listen, ixnay on the Ildrenay, you know?
Yeah, no but one... they probably did, Mike, but he just didn't listen because he wanted his childhood.
But see, whatever, I doubt we'll anybody was telling him not to. Anyway, but we never know.
God, we don't
point,
know.
Point you're making, and I think the point is made that clearly he had arrested development. He lived in an amusement park, okay? So, you know, let's face it. I mean, he was definitely trying to have a childhood on...
Would you let your kids sleep over at Michael Jackson's house? That's the real question. Well,
the question is, not everybody's freaked out about, you know, certain things.
But why wouldn't you?
I hear you. Parents that prostitute out their children. I mean, you know, all kinds of things happen.
You know what? It's a funny thing because that leads into what these parents are doing with their infants and their kids, death by car. You know, you recently had the story of this woman and her husband. They're eating at a Golden Corral and their infant. It's an infant, newborn, 22 months old, and she's in a car, and she dies of starvation.
Oh, that's horrible.
You know, so now your friend on the phone, now that's a story.
That's a horrible story.
Yeah, where these parents are intentionally bringing harm to their kids and thinking that they can get away with it.
I don't even think they were thinking like that. Are they?
Oh, yes, they were.
Self-indulgent.
Mike. Yeah, no, I doubt that very much.
I think their plan was, let's go eat dinner and kill our child and see if we can get away with it.
Mike,
I don't think they had that much thought.
Something wrong with
Mike,
them.
Clearly,
you don't leave a 22-month-old in the car, Mike.
Clearly. But I don't think it's like a plan to kill a child.
Then you know how she died? By starvation. Mike,
well, that takes a while, though.
That's neglect.
Starvation. That's neglect. That
isn't an accident, Mike. And you're in the restaurant eating? Mike, come on.
Listen, all I'm saying is that the neglect was just, what's the word?
Severe?
Yeah, it's severe, but that's not the word.
Mike, I can see if the kid had something to eat, left with a bottle or something like that, I can understand that at least a little. But for the kid to die of starvation, Mike, that takes time.
That's horrible. That takes neglect beyond neglect. Well, they were being gluttonous at an endless buffet.
That's called intentional.
Horrendous.
See, that's what happened to Mike Frogs. That's what happened to his frogs. He didn't feed them.
Lance is frowning.
About the frogs?
Just at Chris. Chris is a strange man.
I know, it's horrible.
And I just want to say that we're on Mondays from midnight to 3 a.m. The name of the show is Night Shift, where life is like science fiction. And we have a website. It's lifeislikesciencefiction.com. And if you go there, you can listen to shows going back for nearly a decade at this point. And you can like us on Facebook, NITESHIFT. And you can see some of the videos for some of what we've been talking about, the plane. Now, Chris, the best part of the plane was that he caught it at the end. Was that, like, not amazing?
That was amazing.
It
was unbelievable thing. Well, they had a remote control on it or something?
No, it was just a plane. He knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I meant to tell you, stop saying that you're on Monday, Mike. You're on Tuesday morning as well.
Monday night at midnight.
Mike, Monday night at Sunday.
Monday, Mike. Midnight. Midnight,
Mike,
Monday.
It's Tuesday. You should be ashamed of yourself.
First of all, you know how old I am. I can be 10.
I know
how old you are, Mike.
Technically, you know nothing.
Who are you?
Mike. You know, at 12 to 8.
I don't know what you're doing.
It's
Monday
shift.
Night.
No, you start your 12 to 8 shift
Monday
on
night.
Tuesday morning.
It's Monday night.
Monday night at midnight.
Wake up.
Mondays, midnight. No. You go to hell.
Midnight starts a new day, Mike. Come
this
on.
This is not a new day.
You know what? He's right, Mike.
He's not right.
He's
both go to hell.
He's right, but it still feels like Monday.
That's right. It's Monday night to me.
It doesn't feel. There is no feel.
There is feel. This is the problem. There is no feel. This is the problem.
That was the kind of world we'd made.
There's no
world we'd made.
There's no feel.
World we'd made.
There's no feel. There's no feel. There's no feel.
World we'd made. World we'd made.
Come on, Mike, wake up.
World we'd made.
You know what, Mike?
I'll wake up tomorrow morning. Tuesday.
No, it is tomorrow morning.
You go to hell.
Look at that. I touch it a smile.
That's how Mike feels about his guests.
Yes.
I thought you smile.
Mike.
Yes.
Shame yourself.
Are you?
You know what?
Who
He's
are
absolutely
you?
Right. I'm so glad you called and pointed that out because nobody can point these things out to Mike. Nobody. Nobody.
Well, it's about
I disagree
time.
With your information. I disagree.
No.
It's Monday night.
There are some absolute. Time is absolute.
And you know what? No,
but Monday is not absolute.
Mike never, you know what, Mike? If Mike would have had
Monday slips
kid,
right into Tuesday.
Mike, you're right. It's Monday
during
somewhere.
During the shift.
Somewhere in the world. It is Monday. It's still Monday. You know, you're absolutely
it's
right.
It's obvious to me. If Mike right. would have had better
We're
training.
Global. We're global.
You know, in Hawaii. In Hawaii. It's still Monday.
All right,
right.
You have a final story for us? The latest, the last, the bluest.
The sex toy story?
The sex toy story.
Oh, I want to hear about
Give me
sex.
All the dirty stuff close to the end of the show.
Of course.
Have a good day.
You too.
Take care. That was so funny.
Sex toy stuck in woman's vagina for 10 years.
No, no, stop there. That's enough. Move on.
Huffington Post. A 38-year-old woman in Scotland was told doctors she was suffering from shaking and incontinence and severe weight loss turned out to have a sex toy stuck in her vagina that had been there for 10 years.
A 10-year-old baby.
Mm-hmm.
10 years.
The woman who
baby.
The article notes...
She said, I thought it was just Christmas.
The woman who the article notes was of normal intelligence
they had to put that in there. They're like, I know what you're thinking.
Told doctors she used the 5-inch toy in a drunken sexual encounter a decade ago and didn't remember whether she took it out or not.
Wow.
By the time the surgeons found that the toy's effects were potentially life-threatening, caused a bladder blockage, forcing urine back up into her kidneys, and created a vesicovaginal fistula.
Okay.
Never mind.
Oh, my gosh.
That is not fun.
No. That's... dumbfounding.
It's gross, wow. And it's
what? And so what? But they got it out.
They got it out. Good news.
She's good. She's good to go.
She'll never do that again.
Oh,
wow.
Maybe it'll get her to quit drinking.
Hey, you know what?
Yeah, like, yeah, if you don't remember.
You better make sure you leave with all the toys you showed up with.
Because at least she remembered 10 years. 10 years later. Oh, yeah, that night.
Yeah.
I don't remember if I took it out.
I'm sure it must happen with tampons a lot.
No, I bet you that. Let me tell you something.
What?
Let me tell you something. I bet you they found more of the misfit toys up there.
Stop.
That became the island of misfit toys.
That's
10 years is a long
like,
time.
Wow.
A year would be
help me, Mike. I'm stuck in a vagina. Let me out. I've been here for 10 years. Let me out of the vagina.
Chris is a very strange man.
That's funny. That's not funny. I think that's
strange
funny.
Strange man. It's just
yeah,
strange.
Whatever. Yeah, I'm a strange man.
You
black,
are strange.
Black-eyed children. Yeah.
Yes, you are. Are you the son of black-eyed children? You know what black-eyed children eat?
What?
Black-eyed peas. That's all they eat. It's time.
Albino frog. That's what they eat.
Oh, God. I was thinking that, but I didn't say it.
Black-eyed peas with frog legs, right?
You know what's funny, Mike? What's funny is when you used to feed them, so they used to get crazy when you would feed them? They knew food was coming.
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah, they'd be jumping up and, like, ready to make a bid for freedom.
What do you keep them in? Like a terrarium or something?
No, they're underwater frogs. They're in with the fish.
Are you always going to have frogs of one sort?
Am I always going to have frogs? It's a good question. I don't know. Will you always have frogs?
Like a fish tank, and the frogs swim around in there?
You mean in case you want to live together? I'll get rid of the frogs if you want to live together, you know?
He's talking to me or Chris.
No, I was talking to you because you want me to get rid of frogs.
Yeah, I don't like them.
In our old age.
Oh, Jennifer's moving in. Oh,
well, in about 40 years, she'll move in. We'll be the
Once
only
the
ones left.
Once the frogs are gone.
And the bedbugs.
The frogs, the bedbugs. Exactly. Now, that was a very traumatic experience. That's all I'll say.
Well, I think you're very brave, like I said, to come out as a survivor.
Yes, I'm a bedbug. survivor.
Underwater frogs, do they stay underwater the whole time?
Yes, they do. They live underwater. Underwater frogs.
Could they live not underwater?
No, they live underwater. They're underwater frogs. Matter of fact, the first time I saw them, I was at one of those big pet, you know, Petland or Petco or something.
How big and, is your, like, hey, and, if you had, like, five of these things with big fist-looking frogs.
Well, I had a 30-gallon before, but now I've got a
Let's hear the story about how you met.
But how I met them is I was in a Petco or a Petland or whatever, and I saw all these little tiny frogs, and a lot of them were albino, like half of them were albino. So they're little pink things, like literally like the size of one digit of your pinky, and they weren't moving. And I asked the guy who worked there, I was like, what's up with the dead frogs? And he's like, those aren't dead frogs. Those are underwater frogs. I said, underwater frogs? I didn't know there was such a thing. He's like, yeah, you know, we just got a whole bunch of them. And I was like, oh.
And then it was love at first sight?
Yeah, I said, I got to get a couple of these.
Well, how much were they?
I don't know, a few dollars. They're
you bought like three of them, you bought
no,
them
No, I bought
home.
Like two, I think. I bought two. Yeah, I bought two, brought them home. They started to grow. And
wow.
They were...
Wow, that's very impressive, Mike. You're like Dr. Wizard.
Yes, I had the up.
I like Princess better than the frogs.
Yeah, Princess and the frogs.
Talk about your cat a lot.
No, I don't talk about my cat. My cat is animal.
You could probably do a whole show on cats. You know, people would call in.
People would call in about their cats. You know, a lot of men have cats now.
Every time I talk to you, you know, the princess is always hungry.
She just wants attention. She, you know.
She's hungry for attention.
Yes, that's what I was on Rachel Ray with her.
She's famous.
Well, she is. You saw that, hey, Rachel Ray? Did you ever see it? You'd like to see it. Rachel Ray, yes. I was on Rachel Ray with Princess.
Skype in Mike Sargent, Rachel Ray.
No,
was there
not
a
on
cat expert or something?
Yes.
I saw the clip. You showed it to me.
Yeah, there it is. Yes. This is years ago. And
Mike's learned to be a better parent to Princess after that. A psychologist taught him how to be better, right?
Yeah. What's that? What'd you say, Chris?
They picked you up for the limo, the whole thing, the
green room and the whole thing. Cat was not feeling going out on set. She was like, no, no way. And they called over the cat whisperer and just took her away. So the cat was on my head. Cat was on my head.
Yeah.
On my head. I could have bought you a drink.
Walked around Times Square.
That's right. There it is. Well, you are tuned to listener-sponsored radio on WBAI 99.5 FM. And there's been night shift. We went straight through. We didn't even take a break.
You have any callers?
It was long, strong. What'd you say? What?
It was fun. You want to know why it was so much fun? Because Jennifer was
here. No, I can hear you from there. I can hear you.
The mystery guest was here. But it was so much fun.
So straight for the kill. That's how we do it.
Straight for the kill. Yes. That's how we do it. So, Jennifer? Mm-hmm. We enjoyed your presence. You too, mystery guest.
Yeah, I had a fun time. Thanks.
Yes. You're back with us, mystery guest.
Yeah.
You read your last story. And we've all had all our stories. We've told our stories. And starting with fecal transplants and the mass duck deaths. And let me see, was there anything I missed here? Bed bugs. What's that?
Black eyes.
Black eyes. Black eyed children at the door. Is it time for food? Chris. I can see the poster. I just see the poster. Don't answer
so
the door.
Spooky.
It is pretty spooky. Don't answer the door. So.
Just chilling by the pool.
Exactly. The water turns black. You have nightmares about the black-eyed children coming. It's like, you know, the main character is married to a psychic, you know. I had dreams of the black-eyed children.
I don't know what's going to happen to the world.
Exactly. She's having visions of black-eyed children. Of course, then they find out the black-eyed children are really, you know,
your children.
They come. Exactly.
I'm loving this movie, but what happens? Do they kill people?
Well, yeah, what they really do, the black-eyed children, is they feed on the souls of humans. They are emissaries from some demon that's going to take over the planet.
Okay.
How's that?
Sounds good.
Well, yeah. What kind of demon? Like what? You know.
Some special.
But if they're
demon.
A demon, that means this is. What, an exorcism type movie?
No. How are you going to stop
are
them?
Are they aliens?
You can't stop them. This is the setup for
I
the
like
TV
the idea
here.
Of that. It's better that they're alien, though. I like the idea of them alien.
Yeah.
You like aliens better?
Yeah.
Well, the alien thing is done. I mean, I could easily come make them aliens. That's easy, though. That's the easy way out. I like the idea, though.
I like the idea that what
we see as aliens are really demons. You know, demons and aliens, the same thing. And then, you know, we've always, you know, given them some sort of, you know, religious form, but it's really the bad aliens.
It's nighttime all
there
the
it is.
Time.
That's right. Nighttime all the time. All right. Jennifer?
Yes.
Did you know about the Black Comic Book Festival coming up?
No, I didn't know
this
about
weekend.
That.
It's sponsored by New York Public Library. They're involved.
That's embarrassing that I didn't know that.
You didn't know? Why do you not know? Okay, all right. I won't blow up your spot here. So, you knew about it, Lance.
I do now.
Okay.
I'd like to know.
There it is.
Share more.
We'll put up a link on the Facebook page. So you should come back to our Facebook page. Come often. Like us. NITESHIFT.
Yeah, he picked Jennifer from like 10 years ago.
All right, now, in our last 2 minutes here, mystery guest, did you figure out anything that you know you're going to make happen this year?
That's a lot of pressure at 3 a.m.
Is it? Okay. What about you, Jennifer? You never told us what
like
you
I
learned.
Like I said, that's a lot of pressure.
Oh, come on. You didn't ever tell us anything. What did you learn? Who are you?
Like I said, I can't top mystery guest her profound weight.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't thought about it.
Chris?
We've been talking about frogs and sex toys
and mass deaths. Yeah.
Chris,
what? The things for the future? What's the question, Mike?
No. The question is, what are you going to make happen this year? What are you sure you're going to make happen this year?
I you know what? If every day is a challenge.
I understand.
One day at a time.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, I mean, I don't know. You try to make plans and God laughs at you. I mean, you know, it's just like kind of like.
You try to make plans and God laughs at you? Is that what happens to you?
Yeah, that's what happens to me. If as soon as I make a plan, I might as well forget about it because it's not going to, I mean, things, really bad things happen all the time. Like just
Remember Brother Theodore when he said something? Good only happens to let you know that something bad is about to happen.
You see?
Yeah, there it is.
He was a Holocaust survivor, so he could say things like that.
Wow.
But I get the concept of it. I don't know. You know, I just, you know, I mean, I, like if I make plans to travel somewhere, my vehicle will have an issue. You know, things happen. I don't know.
I understand. Well, you can also follow us on Twitter at NITESHIFTZ. So, night shift with a Z at the end. Jennifer, thank you.
It was fun. Thanks for having me.
Chris, thank you.
Hey, once again, another night through. 3 hours of our babble.
Lance, thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Guest.
Yes.
Mr. Guest needs to take some aspirin.
She's going to take some aspirin. Until next time, this has been Night Shift.